Welcome back to the Unclicked Podcast, everybody. Thanks to Ryan Fudger, our BMX, and the beautiful Golden Retriever back there. We have Kevin Peraza. Kevin.
Hello.
We've been talking about doing the podcast forever.
For a year now.
Since I think it very first started, we were in the Cayman Islands, and I started dropping them, and I was like, I have a list for you on my phone still from like a year ago.
I think you said, yeah, come to San Diego whenever you're down here. Hit me up, and then...
Is that why you moved to San Diego?
Yeah, just for the podcast. I was like, if I'm here, maybe I'm more available, which means he'll want to do it eventually.
Took after COVID-19. Well, not after, but you moving in completely in a pandemic, and now we're doing this podcast.
Is what it is.
That's all right.
That's all right.
So why did you move to San Diego? So you are a full-time resident as of like 3 months ago now?
4 months now. The middle of February, I officially moved to San Diego. I think... Like everyone else, you know, come into California for events, fall in love with, you know, not only the culture and the scene, and I just think in general, like the people you want to ride with, Everything's here, the people you want to film with and shoot photos with, and the people that motivate you and inspire you are here. Obviously, countless skate parks, plazas, backyard setups, trails, everything's here. And I think
it does have everything.
It does have everything, you know, and I think... Growing up in Tucson, I really appreciated where I came from, you know, not having much to when the indoor skate park, premises park got built, you know, it just became my second home, you know, and still traveling back to California. My aunt lived in Chula Vista, so I grew up coming and staying in the summer, riding Claremont, going to the Banksgiving Jam or the Give D Jam, And just getting to see all the dudes that I looked up to, like, at the local skate park was like... You don't see that in other sports, and I think in California it's super normal. So, yeah, plenty of reasons why to move in, why I moved. You know, I recently got married.
Yeah,
my wife has.
Wait, did you guys elope a little bit?
What's up?
Wait, did you actually get married?
So we had our civil wedding in November.
Oh, okay.
So we had our civil wedding and just had like a family wedding, but we haven't had our ceremonial wedding.
Is that like where you sign the papers and everything?
Yeah, so we signed the papers, and it was just her family and my family, something small, and then.
You're supposed to do it in October.
Yeah, so we're supposed to have our actual like religious ceremonial wedding and like the party this year in October. But obviously COVID-19, the uncertainty of having guests be able to travel to Mexico. We were going to get married in San Carlos, Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's a little beach town 2 hours away from where it sails from and where my mom and dad are from. And obviously, yeah, traveling would have been super hard this year. No one's really sure what's going to happen. So we just figured we'd move it to next year. There's no rush to it. So
yeah.
Made the move to San Diego. I feel like not only for myself to open more opportunities for myself, but Itzel has a graphic design degree. So I figured she would just have more options here. So obviously I love Tucson. I love where I come from. And, I think it would just make me appreciate it more.
Cool. What was the hardest part about leaving Tucson?
Hardest part about leaving Tucson was the local skate park and the scene. Yeah. Felt like a dad, you know, like. With my brothers, you know, my family and I being super close, obviously that's the hardest part, you know. And I said, well, it's only 5-6 hour drive, so it's not going to be not going to be too bad. But I think the hardest part was that, you know, leaving the skate park and leaving behind the kids that I had, you know, I have felt like I had like homework to do to inspire and continue to teach them and to help them grow into who they are now. But I feel like if I don't move, then they'll never see a potential chance for them to move, you know? So Not only for my brothers, like we all still lived at home, you know, none of us had moved away from our parents' home yet, you know? And I was like, well, I figured like time's right. You know, this is, I know what I want and I know what I need. And, obviously everything fell into place, and, moving to California, obviously super hard being away from your family, especially now that I haven't seen them in the last 4 months because of the virus. But I feel like I wake up more inspired, more motivated to go out, to get stuff done. You know, I'm riding with friends I only get to see at events, you know, every once in a while. And so, yeah, just building those relationships with the people that I like riding with, you know. And now that I'm far away and have my own place and I'm slowly figuring out grown-up life, I feel like I'm even more of a motivation and inspiration to my little brothers, my brothers in general, and all the kids that I ride with back home. So
cool.
Yeah, I think it's just cool. Yeah.
Have you found it weird? Like the premises park was such a natural, comfy place to just get down. And now being in San Diego, you have to ride these, you basically had a key, a private skate park at night. So do you find it weird kind of transitioning now to riding crowded skate parks and they're not all just
private,
perfect bike parks?
Yeah.
You know, they're great. There's a million of them, but the premises park was like, that place looks like best place to like hone in your skills.
And it's like, and like I said, it's like a second home, not only to me, but plenty of kids. You know, you walk in and there's super welcoming, you know, all the workers are super welcoming, like just the whole energy and the whole vibe. There's whatever, you can play whatever music you want. You know,
it was like your park basically. Yeah, plus
basically like my park, my family's park. And obviously Ian gave us that, you know, that luxury of giving us a key and like
shout
the
out
codes.
To Ian.
Yeah. Shout out to Ian at Premises Park. Really, really, you know, blessed to have that place. I really, you know, polished my riding when that place opened up, and I could only be more than thankful for that place. And not to mention like all the kids that I've came out from there or continue to grow from there, you know. So
it seems like you did an amazing job when you were home of like keeping the premises riding pretty just to yourself, because I was like, you're at home time, and then you just come to these trips and it'd be like, where in the fuck is Kevin getting this good from, you know? And it's like, oh, he's got this indoor park,
I got to play with,
hiding out in.
And I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing, you know, because I would come home from a trip and I'd be super motivated. Like we went on the Grand Cayman trip, and I got to be on a trip with, you know, two of my favorite riders, with filmers and photographers. And you know, Colin was just taking like the whole TM role like into play. So it was like, I got to be with all these dudes for 10 days, you know, on a trip at this incredible skate park. We're just sessioning daily. And I got home super inspired. And it was like, I got so used to filming every day and like working to get a clip to like.
Back to the training facility.
Back to the training facility. But I wasn't like getting stuff done, you know what I mean? Like I was riding and I was doing it personally, and at the end of the day, it's like personal pleasure, you know. You do things and you learn things for yourself, but I was like, I want to be filming, like I want to be documenting all of this, you know. And my brothers and I all have different, you know, schedules, different routines. We all ride at our different times, we hang out with different friends, you know, we're different ages as well. But I'd show up to the skate park and it would just be me for like an hour, you know. And it's like, I can ride hard by myself, but it's like, who do I have to push and motivate, you know? And then,
So it's getting to the point. Sorry, go ahead.
Who have you been riding in San Diego? Because it seems like you kind of fell into a pretty heavy crew right away that you guys have been,
Yeah. Like I said before, it was getting to hang out with friends like, you know, you, Dennis, Chad, that I only ever see at events every once in a while, you know, and we never really get to ride. I'm in San Diego and you guys are on another trip, so I'm never really here. Straight away, Chad invited me to go out filming with him and Christian.
Yeah.
And one day, you know, getting one clip for IG and one clip just to film with Christian. I've never worked with Christian before. I've been a fan of his work from the Market DVD to every other video project he's made for all of his friends, you know. And one clip turned into two clips to five clips to, hey, we should film a video part.
Yeah.
To now we're working on a video part together, you know. And we've made it almost like a routine where in the weekday or on the weekends, we go out and film, you know, at all the spots that I've seen in video parts throughout my life, you know. So it's like super nostalgic for me as well. And obviously, I show up to Linda Vista. I'm only like 5 minutes from Linda Vista. I show up to Linda Vista and Michael Laren's there, you know. Yeah. And so completely different style of rider, you know, rides, you know, super, super steep, big quarters, rides vert. And then he'll go and ride the little bone and completely destroy, you know. And so it's just different people, different motivations, different styles, you know. And obviously, you learn from everyone. Gary Young, you know, like obviously Gary's been like a huge influence for the whole San Diego scene. I feel like from magazines, video parts, and everything I've watched growing up, he's always been like, oh, San Diego's like, that's Gary Young, you know. And like DeMarcus Paul as well, like someone I would never see on an average, not even events, you know. It was very rare to run into DeMarcus. So like, been hanging out with DeMarcus, super cool, super, super fun to hang out with.
And it seems like you naturally just fell in. You're just part of it now. It's like, you're just another big name dude that lives here, and it's rad. And it sounds like it's really refreshing for you. But then also, I hang out with Christian all the time because he lives right down the street from the ramps. And when you're not there, he's like, dude, Kevin got like four clips yesterday. You got to see him. So even, you know, Christian's filmed with a million people. Yeah. So Christian's like, it's refreshing to him too, because it's kind of like you guys would only work together on a trip, and now it's like you're on a constant trip. You're seeing all these new spots. Cool, and Christian's like, I got 20 of these around the corner, you know? Yeah. So.
And like,
it's working like good for everyone.
Saying, and like what I was saying before, like being in Tucson, like there wasn't really BMX photographers.
Yeah.
So like, I never really got to go out and, hey, let's go shoot some photos today. As in, like, now it's like, I'm down to shoot photos whenever with whoever. Yeah. Like, ran into Brandon Means, who I only ever see at events, you know, and like, hey, let's go shoot some photos, shot some photos.
Yeah.
Kevin Connors has been coming out shooting photos along with Christian and Chad while we're out filming, you know. And so it's like, I got to film, you know, with you a little bit in the parking garage and little things. It's like, I feel like I'm working, but obviously I'm going to be riding regardless, you know. It's
honestly, moving to San Diego amidst the, you know, the coronavirus stuff, the COVID stuff, is like, you know, a solid move, really, because whatever events cancel, if you were in Tucson, you would just be kind of chilling, right?
Yeah, and so that was the thing, like,
that AC.
Yeah, basically.
That's the thing. Yeah, like, in Arizona, we either wake up super early, but 9, 10 a.m., we have to go back home. It's way too hot. It's 105 right now, and there's a constant fires, and there's a bunch of stuff going.
Just bursting into flames.
Arizona is amazing. We might sound like
I love Tucson. I used to go to Tucson all the time.
I love Arizona.
You stayed there for that long, and not just – you were making – I don't like to talk about money a lot, but I know you won X Games in a couple different events, so it's not like you
– It wasn't affecting
didn't have enough money to leave. Yeah, you chose to live there.
Yeah, I chose to live there, exactly.
That was one of the questions I have written down is, you know – you seem like you were always stuck on San Diego, but somebody like you, where I feel like a lot of people, if they're going to move, they want land and they're going to build their own private ramp park and stuff like that. But in San Diego, it's obviously, you know, it's expensive out here. Yeah. So was that ever a consideration? Like, you know, I moved to North Carolina and build my own backyard ramp or something, you know?
We'll be right back. Hey, sketch comedy fans. If you like unapologetically uncensored comedy, check out Instant Microwave Fuzz, recorded every week, hot and fresh and straight out of the microwave. Unscripted jokes, uncensored guests. You're going to have a lot of outrageous improvised sketch comedy fun. You can find us on all the platforms under Instant Microwave Fuzz. Comedy made in an instant.
Yeah, I mean, amidst the millions of ideas that came into my head before moving, because it was like constant flow of ideas.
Of course,
You know, just doing my homework financially, you know, of being able to afford to live in San Diego was the biggest question. Like, I don't know what the market's like over here as far as taxes, gas, food, electricity, whatever it is, you know, all the daily expenses that someone has to go through to live here. So Arizona's affordable, you know, and I was making... I've been doing well in BMX to live in Arizona and to be
there's a Range Rover parked in the front yard.
Oh, he doesn't like to talk about the Range.
That's cool though. No one knows about it.
You parked out in my front yard.
Neighbors.
And it's
he's blushing right now. Yeah. He's a modest guy, but I'm gonna say that.
I mean, we
he lived at his parents' house and has a Range Rover.
I feel like you're so good at you're so good at social media, like what you do with your Instagram and everything. Like, there's so much thoughtfulness and stuff, but there's also the reverse thoughtfulness that you didn't put the fact that you moved to San Diego on social media.
Yeah,
and you don't put the fact that you have a Range Rover. You've had it for 3 years or something, and it's never been online. So what you know, you have so much thoughtfulness.
Even with his riding, too.
Branson.
Even with his riding, man, because
Branson's.
I've seen Kevin ride so many sessions here, and you know a lot of the average pros nowadays, and nothing against it because everybody's different, but they film a lot of stuff. But Kevin's like a Garrett, where it's like his Instagram doesn't even look like how much he's really riding. You know, he does such a tasteful job, and just very smart with
you
all.
You kind
of
have a lead time too, but so what?
I think.
Yeah, what's your approach with it? Like, why didn't you post San Diego? Why don't you post a Range Rover? And what's your philosophy with social media, I guess, in general? Because you have, I mean, he's one of the biggest followings, too.
And it's done differently than just, here's me riding. You get, like, three cool photos, and I don't know.
Try to put it together. I think social media is a challenge, you know, because you do get the dudes that only post clip, you know, and at the end of the day, you're only building the market of what we have in BMX. It's like, but I feel like if you can go outside of your little bubble of BMX and even promote daily lifestyle stuff to eventually working for little companies here and there and promoting stuff for them, you know, I feel like it's completely cool. But I am super conservative when it comes to little things like personal life. Like, there's certain things where sometimes I just get burnt out. Like, I try too hard to put, like, nice, you know, good content, good photos. I only try to put, like, photo, you know, camera photos, you know, and legit videos and stuff. But I feel like sometimes I overthink and I don't post anything. And then there's days where I'll be like, all right, I'm ready. I'm going to get stuff done, get photos, get content, get stuff to post.
Some days it's like Kevin Peraza day.
Yeah, just like, whoa. It's fun, but which then I try not to fall into that, you know, that hole, that wormhole of social media with everything that's going on, all the negativity, you know, and you never know if people are going to like it or not. So insecurity was always a thing for a lot of people because of social media. You see the things that people have and the things that, you know, people dream about having, to remembering where you came from, to the little things like that. So
the negativity you're talking about? Is like, what do you mean by negativity?
Negativity as in like people always have something to say regardless you doing something or not. So I feel like in social media, bullying is super huge when it comes to the little things of, you post a photo because you're working with a modeling agency and because it's not BMX, people are going to hate on it, you know? And I feel like people doing something different, there's nothing wrong with it. I feel like if you don't like what I'm posting, don't follow me.
Yeah.
It's like, this is my life and this is what I want to post. And when it comes to people always seeing what other people have, you know, and I feel like the word influencer isn't even an influencer to me anymore. It's like you're posting photos in front of your nice car, in front of the things that you probably don't even own, and you're bragging about how you have more than others. And maybe some people put it in different words than others, but that's one thing I don't want to push out to, like, hey, like, this is what I have. Like, I don't post photos of my car for a reason.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I did it for me. I bought it for me. It was a treat that I said, like, I don't know. It's a dream car. So it's like, I don't have to, I don't know. And I'm shy too when it comes to stuff like that.
Very cool. You also do a great job of not hurting people's feelings with your writing, because you could do that every day if you wanted. If you said, hey, film this every day, you could wake up and be like, oh, Kevin.
Well, it's like,
I feel like it's a scale thing too, though, because or a maturity thing, because like you had a couple of semi-fancy cars for a little bit, and now you've like kind of settled on the Toyota. Sorry, I'm talking to Dennis.
That's so, okay.
Like,
we're all talking.
Like,
we're all talking.
You know, like, I think that's like it's like a mental shift, you know, and I think you've probably just reached a level of maturity where it's like, yeah, I don't really need to flaunt this part of my life.
Yeah, and I think moving to San Diego was like, I want to post about it, but I don't know how to post about it. And then I just let it all fall into place. Like, I know eventually, like, I'll write something long up that if people want to read it, they'll read it. And if not, then it doesn't matter. But
has there been negative feedback from, you know, like, photos of you in a tunnel or something like that, where it's just like you chilling? Like, is there any negative feedback there, that, and how do you respond to it?
Sometimes, you know, but it's, I take the positive route, you know. It's like, they're hating because they didn't post it, or maybe they liked the photo, or maybe they're not into it, you know. And it's like, I would post a lot of photos with it, so, and I still do, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. But for a minute, it was like, we get it, bro, you have a girlfriend. And it's like, hey, this is what I want to post, man. Like,
sorry, I love her.
Yeah, sorry, I have a good relationship and we have fun doing things. Like,
yeah, that's almost like it's way different. But you love your wife, you know, and you love riding. And some people,
best friend, so it's cool.
Sometimes there's nothing wrong with posting a car because it could be your baby
love
it.
Some people love their, like,
and
my
it's,
brother
it maybe
David
isn't
loves
a flaunt. Yeah,
and it's like, that's cool.
Yeah,
if you
it's
love it,
cool.
And like you said, it's the best thing ever. It's just, if they don't like what you're posting, they might like you and love you. Just don't follow you. You don't gotta get mad. What are they posting?
Yeah, my mom.
It's like, just don't follow them and still be their fan. Like, don't matter.
Yeah, at the end of the day, my mom or my dad or my brothers aren't gonna love me any less if I post this or don't post that. You know, but I think being conservative as well. You know, being a mystery is also cool. Like, people want to get to know you more. So I feel like when it comes to engagement, like especially with like social media engagement, if you post too much, then it's almost like you're burning out all your tricks. So, like, I feel like it happens a lot. Like, someone posts something on Instagram and it blows up and they get like a streak going, you know, and it's like, oh, who's this kid? He did something cool on social media, and then you never see anything again. And then he puts a video part out and it's the same stuff he posted on social. So it's like, I do a lot of the same basic tricks at contests that I feel like I do the same stuff all the time, that if I were to post it on social all day long, then it would just get boring. So it's like, I always find different things to post, like different lines, different, show up to a skate park and be like, oh, I've never seen this. But it's not about like posting something that's never been done. It's the fact that like you went out of your way to try something different that no one else has done. It's like, well, there's all these different opportunities. Everyone has a different mentality when it comes to riding.
So and you are a legit pro and you have sponsor obligations. I know we've talked about this before, where you don't want to burn out a trick, you know, because you know you might be on a Mongoose trip next month and you want that trick to film for the part, not just have it in your Instagram. And like you said, then the video comes out and they're like, well, his Instagram's just as good as this video. Why am I watching this?
And so it's like, it comes to that where you see everything on social media, and then when you meet them in real life, they're not that same person, you know? And so there's people build expectations. And I think like I said before, when it comes to posting like the nice things you have, you also don't, I don't know, I don't believe in having to post or brag or to be the bigger person. You know, I feel like with BMX, and I grew up, you know, with super humble family and super humble friends. So I don't know, like even to a point when I did get the car, it was like, am I even like doing something correct in life? Like my dad works 14-hour shift a day and, yeah, you know, and makes decent money. But at the end of the day, he's like, no, treat yourself. Get the stuff you want. Like, do it for you. Like, I'm happy with what I'm doing. Like, I love welding. I love being the mechanic I am. And, like, I love putting in the hours. He's super busy when it comes to that. So I've taken that mentality of, yeah, you know, I've worked hard. Like, if I want something, I'm going to get it. But there's no point to brag about it. You know, yeah. I feel like it's a personal goal, personal pleasure. Cool. But I can go on. Yeah.
I feel like that's, you know, that's a perfect answer and just kind of shows where you're at.
Shut up, Kevin.
I can go on.
I talk way too much.
You do talk. I love it. I feel like sometimes you'll come to the ramp and you'll be riding and talking. Yeah. And then come back up. I couldn't hear you. You were just airing the quarter telling me something.
Well, let's circle back to the family thing, because I feel like it wouldn't be a Peraza interview if we didn't talk about your family.
Shout out to the Perazas. Right? They're all the
family.
Best,
I miss you all.
So
little Eddie, Victor, David, the parents.
So your dad rode BMX in Sonora, correct?
Yes.
And he was, was he a professional? Or I know he did like shows and stuff like that. So he ripped, basically.
I never got to see, I only hear the stories of my dad like being like the dude that showed up to the track, you know, and killing it, you know, and I run into random dudes like in Mexico City or Guadalajara where it's like, I used to race with your dad back in the day. Like he would take like a 16-hour bus ride to Mexico City, win the race, make money to pay for the bus and go back home. So, and it's like, I hear stories legend like that and it's status. Like, yeah, legend. I'm like, what a legend. My dad grew up in a city called Hermosillo, Sonora. It's only 4 hours south of Tucson. Tucson's only 30, 45 minutes from the border. So I've been super close to the whole, you know, Hispanic community. I consider myself Mexican. My mom and dad are both Mexican. My wife is from the same city, Hermosillo. The culture and the whole scene, it was super tight-knit. So long story short, my dad raced BMX. He was a big metalhead. The reason he moved to Tucson was to race BMX and to ride the tracks and to go to all the concerts.
That's sick.
And so he'd come to Tucson and
I did not know about
he'd come to a Def Leppard concert on Saturday, and then Ron Wilkerson would do a Vert demo on Sunday, and he'd be like, oh yeah, you know, you hit two birds with one stone. And him and his friends would come to a concert, you know, and then they would bring their BMX bikes, or they would buy better BMX products out in the States and then take them back to Mexico, you know. And I'd see, you know, I grew up seeing photos of my dad at the racetrack doing flatties, doing turndowns, bow-legged X-ups, you know, like just that whole rad, the whole rad influence style, you know, with the mullet, you know, the skinny jeans and the cutoffs, you know, it was like the whole style to the music. My wife's dad, Itzel's dad, he actually was friends with all of my dad's friends because of music. And so...
Is that how you met her, I assume?
Yeah, so...
At a Def Leppard concert. Like,
so my wife's dad is and her uncle are super metalheads, and they grew up in the same group of friends of my dad. So...
Damn.
Her dad actually owned a skate park in the city in Hermosillo from 2000 to 2002. And I sadly never got to ride it. I was barely getting into racing then. But going back to the story, my dad grew up racing, riding jumps, backyard quarter pipes. Just the whole like BMX culture of how it started, you know. And obviously he got married young, moved to the States straight away. Him and my mom moved to Tucson. Had kids young, you know, David, myself. I was super active growing up, super, super, super active. I remember my teachers wanted me to get what's that pill when they make you Ritalin?
Ritalin.
So they wanted me to take Ritalin because I'd be sitting in class like
just, yeah,
that's so fidgeting. Messed up, man. Yeah. A kid's got too much activity. Or I know parents don't understand.
Like 30 minutes in, there'd be 30 minutes left of the class, and the teacher would be losing it because I'd just be like,
this kid needs a pill because he works a little faster than everybody else.
And thankfully, my pediatrician, kid's doctor, was like, it's not affecting his grades. He doesn't need the pill. Like, put him into sports. And I was already like slowly getting into racing. My dad got us into racing real young. David and I were racing. I think I was 5 or 6. And like any other supportive parent, you know, he would take us to the Nationals up in Phoenix. He would obviously pay for our memberships and take us to the track 2 days a week. But it wasn't enough. It was like 2 hours a day, 2 days a week, maybe on the weekend, 4 hours. And so my mom put me into baseball straight away, like sports, like get him doing something. But the whole riding aspect came with my dad. My dad rode. Older brother got into riding. I got into racing. Obviously, I got burnt out of racing real young, started jumping. Obviously, he was already jumping. I would see my dad, you know, do tricks. So I just thought it was cooler.
Yeah.
And then so on.
Nice.
The rest is history.
So how... I just find it very interesting that all four of your brothers ride BMX. You know, I feel like it's when you have that family aspect, you see it in other things. It's like, all right, two of them ride and then two rode for a year or two. But all of you guys are so immersed in BMX.
And like they're all so good, but they're all so different too.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, that's everyone all... always mentions that. Super crazy. When I look back into how we all started, you know, David and I raced for a long time. And I might have stopped racing before David, and David was a little more like, more, I would say he was already trying to turn a pro. So it was like, he was way, way more like passionate about racing than I was. And I just got into dirt jumping and just riding and stuff. So, I think just the styles and everything and how we are, like it's just refreshing, you know, and to what you said, like a lot of my friends that have brothers, you know, one of them probably rode for a little bit, you know, and one has a BMX bike and just cruises and, or they don't even ride, you know? And it's like, I get to wake up and ride with my best friends whenever I want, wherever I want. It's like, I'm never by myself. I've never been by myself.
Yeah.
My mom and dad did a very good job about that. My dad didn't want me riding street because he got into trouble riding street when he was younger and he just knows how it is. Like, obviously it was still like frowned upon for a long time where obviously getting tickets, riding skate parks. Like he didn't really let me ride the local cement parks because you could get tickets and get arrested. And obviously pedaling around with my friends, you know, all the distractions that involve being out in the streets, you know, and potentially getting your bike stolen from someone on the street he's always like a parent. He was worried, you know, so my mom and dad did whatever they could. My dad sold, you know, he raced, he did drag racing for a minute. He raced Bajas for a minute. Yeah, he got rid of all of his, he had like one of the first like V dubs, like Volkswagen Bug hydraulic with hydraulics on it. And we do car shows and break dancing and just the whole culture of music, arts, you know, he was a painter and a drawer too. Like he was always drawing stuff and painting stuff. So it's like just the man with many talents and many crafts. So he got us super supported, you know, like.
So do you say he sold some of
his? Sold some of his, yeah. Sold
so
some
you
of
guys
his.
Could race
so and... we could, yeah. So we could afford, you know, whether it was driving to California for a jam for a weekend.
Yeah.
And maybe we didn't have a hotel room, but Shane at the compound would let us stay in the office room. You know, and we'd come up to a Stephen Murray jam and we would stay on the mini ramp and we'd bring a tent. We'd stay there, you know. And
your dad and the family, the brothers?
The whole family, you know. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, we'd drive up and stay with our aunt in Chula Vista, but then we'd drive up all the way to Woodward, you know, and like... whatever it was.
So you guys were like a team. Like you guys did your own thing. Like your dad was like the head of the, it was like he sponsored you guys. It was
And so he sold his cars and his motorcycles and supported us and helped build us a backyard setup. He was, like I said, he was a welder and a mechanic.
Yeah.
He obviously figured out like the transitions of the quarter pipes, like him being super talented at whatever he is at working, you know, he just made it happen. He built like from recycled scaffolding, like from his work.
That's amazing.
He built like the frames of the quarter pipes. He said, why am I going to make them out of wood if they're going to rot anyways? Let's make them out of aluminum. He put cement into the ground, put some support, built us a 5-foot mini ramp. From then a little box gym came upon. We built like a dirt jump and then we were super inspired by like the Lonnie Paxton backyard.
Yeah.
We didn't have dirt. We had to get dirt brought into our backyard and we lived in like a pretty like rough neighborhood.
Whoa.
And I think my dad, the last thing my dad wanted us to get involved with gangs or all the, you know, distractions there is growing up, you know, with the kids around and just everything that was happening around our neighborhood, you know. But
it's really cool that he took care of us, a full-on rider and I'm sure he loved street, but he had like the idea of like, town's a little rough, let's get them a park in the backyard, make sure they don't get tickets. Like,
did everything possible to look after us, you know. And what's better to have our kids riding and doing something positive, something different? Let's build the backyard setup. There was a skate park in Tucson that I never got to ride. It was called Celestial. It was an indoor park.
It was a good park.
And so I never got to ride there. I remember watching my dad ride it every once in a while, but
I may have ridden with your dad then. He wrote Celestial. Celestial,
you know, and there was
because like, there was a contest at Celestial that, or a contest or two that we all went to.
Yeah,
so
there was like a vert ramp in the back, you know.
Yeah,
and
if
like,
he rode that contest, then I may have ridden with your dad. He probably beat me.
And then, in the contest.
There's a cat
that,
on the
so,
table.
So, yeah. Like, long story short, that skate park closed down. They donated their ramps to churches all over Tucson.
Yeah.
And my church that we grew up going to got donated 2 5-foot quarter pipes and a Roland. Mm. And so one of those quarter pipes got stolen from the church. Like, sadly got yeah. stolen. So they said, hey, well, you guys are the ones that ride. You guys should take these ramps. We took them to our backyard. And from then on, we started adding all the other things to it, you know, from you building the metal
scaffolds.
That was
the base.
Yeah, that was the base. Yeah. And I think we still have photos of the quarter pipe, like, first air ever, you know, no coping, because I was like, what's coping? Rip that thing off. I had no idea, you know, and I was probably 12, and so didn't know how to do double pegs, but I had colorful pegs because I thought it was cool. It's little things like that.
Yeah.
From riding in the front yard, racing speed bump to speed bump with my friends on our race bikes, to building a backyard setup, to having every single one of my neighbors fall into BMX, to like, I got one of my best friends.
He just like created.
Out of a game.
He like created.
We created our
like
own
ecosystem.
You guys made it happen because there's so much. Your dad came from Mexico, which
you
is
know,
a poor
like,
country. That's a fact. You know, nothing against it. It's beautiful, but he came here.
Yeah,
he's,
you know,
just followed his dreams. He had his kids, and he just kept everything going. You guys followed your dreams right behind him, and it's like,
and
they,
he just
they couldn't be
happen,
more proud
yeah.
than you right
oh,
now
yeah,
to be
for sure.
doing
and it's like and
living
I'm
the BMX dream for
more
real.
Than grateful. Yeah, my dad gets to come on trips every once in a while. I know we're getting ahead on the conversation, but
no, it's all good.
The things my dad never got to accomplish because there was never that financial support from his family or sponsors in general.
Yeah.
He gets to live that through us now, which is pretty
yeah,
incredible.
That's
like
amazing.
He's gone
and even with
of,
your family, it doesn't sound like you guys were poor by any means, but it sounds like, you know, most people who have a backyard ramp are these rich kids in Tahoe or whatever. But
yeah.
you guys like got a park from the church and just you just did it all
we
on your own.
We did what we could. Yeah.
Like
we ended up getting a foam pit from a friend.
A foam pit. See, that's like that's like what millionaires have. And you guys just like put it in your little dirt lot in the backyard.
Dad, yeah. Like my dad welded a frame, put a frame together. We put plywood together, got some pallets from the old Food City around the corner, put that at the bottom, put a tarp, you know, did everything we could to protect the foam. We were given our foam from Corbin Shira. He's like a racer
oh,
from
yeah.
Tucson. He's
oh,
one of
yeah,
the best
yeah.
racers
yeah.
and for me of all time, man. So underrated. But he had the foam pit at one of his rental properties of a moto guy. Long story short, they're like, hey, we need to rent this house out. And this foam pit's just been sitting in the backyard. Like, do you guys want it?
Damn.
Yeah, obviously, we did anything we could to bring the foam
yeah.
in.
Yeah, yeah.
Hundreds of plastic bags brought the foam into our backyard, but we had dirt in our backyard. We didn't have cement. We couldn't afford to put cement in the backyard, so we would just...
Dirt to foam.
Oh, my
dirt
God.
To foam, so...
Oh, my God.
In Arizona. Rattlesnake breeding ground.
Yeah, so like,
sounds just like hard work with like the love
yeah,
for what
like,
you do.
Yeah.
Just like you guys, it was so natural. Like all this stuff sounds like you need $1 million to do it, but
yeah,
it's just
but
you and your family just doing
what
you love.
And that's the thing, you know, and I feel like... Getting ahead in my conversation, like going to Mexico to ride smaller contests and stuff while I was getting better, you know, a lot of kids would say like, oh, he lives in the States. He has everything. He's super spoiled. But they had no idea that
yeah,
they had better
yeah.
stuff. And Tucson didn't have skate parks to ride. Premises has only been around for 10 years.
And
I've been
yeah,
riding.
And,
you know, I've been riding for...
Do you guys have cement parks now?
So we have cement parks, yeah. But a lot of yeah. the cement parks were a little strict, like revolving door, skate only, tickets,
yeah, yeah,
impounded
yeah.
bikes.
Yeah.
Chandler Skate Park.
When was like your first, you know, what was there like a breakout like event or, you know, when you got sponsored or something where you were like, oh shit, I can do this? Was there, because I think I read another interview that you weren't necessarily like wanting to be pro, but you just wanted to go to events and you wanted to be a part of it. Was there like a single point that you were like, oh, I can actually like make a living and be a pro?
Yeah, I think like everyone, you don't start with like, okay, I'm going to get good at this. I'm going to be the best in the world. I'm going to win medals.
I'm doing
and I'm
this
make
for
money.
A paycheck.
Like this is like, yeah, I can't wait to get paid. It was never like that. I had no idea what level I needed to be at to be pro. Like I would do it because I loved it. My dad loved it and I loved it. And I felt like I was addicted to riding. I would ride every single day.
Yeah,
I would go into the bike shop. It's called Ajo Bikes. And I'd go into the bike shop and my friend Noe, which we'll get to in the next conversation, but I would go in there and I couldn't afford parts and I couldn't afford to buy Ride BMX magazines because they were $6. And so I'd sit in there for half an hour, read the mag and try to fix up my bike as best as I could, you know, became friends with them, fell into the culture of BMX, became a super fan of every rider that I looked up to, that everyone that was in magazines. Obviously, you know, the internet phase for me wasn't super big until I was like in school. So I was watching BMX videos and I could never really like buy DVDs. It was never a thing. Like, they were given to me by other friends, like other bike shops that were supporting me started giving me those, like more into BMX, more when I started like riding contests. But I think when I found out about contests was when my dad said like, oh, it's a better way for you guys to get better. Like, Chandler Skate Park got built an hour and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the very first like double coping spines I've ever rode in my life. And it was like, I grew up racing, riding dirt in a pretty beat up backyard setup. We didn't have a spine.
Yeah.
To riding this scary 6 foot double coping spine, like, I fell in love. You know, it was either I was riding street ditches,
so there's like that
trails
there's
and
that,
a racetrack. You know,
there's
what I mean?
That element like, of like coming from riding really shitty, bumpy, awkward transitions makes the perfect transition feel all much better.
Well, that's what I just fell in love with riding ramps to a point where the better I got, the more fun I was having, the more doors that were being open to me as far as like tricks to learn, you know. And like anything, you get good at something, the more you do it, the better you get and the more fun you have with it. So like I said, big fanatic of the sport, you know, a kid with a big dream of like, I want to go watch one of these events one day. Yeah. We drove to Vegas with one of my dad's friends. He invited us to like an old Ricardo Laguna dirt contest.
What were they called?
X-Lite.
Extreme Thing.
It was Extreme Thing, but it was called X-Lite when I went.
You were an X-Lite at Extreme Thing.
those were sick. It was like a dirt jump contest surrounded by like ICP fans.
Yeah,
like,
it was
insane.
Weird.
Like Las Vegas concerts.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the first contests I really got to see. Yeah, and it was like, I remember like the guys that I saw in magazines were at that contest. Yeah. You know, like,
did you ride it?
I didn't ride it. Oh, no, okay. I was way too young, and okay. I wasn't even.
Oh,
nearly
how old were
as
you?
Good.
This, sorry, I misunderstood.
13 or 14.
Oh, okay.
And so
yeah,
like Ryan Scher is 180ing up the roll-in. Like Adam Baker did the first flip double whip. James Foster's got snake bites, and he's this little emo kid that doesn't nobody knows. You know, and it's like
shout out to Foster.
Yeah, you know, and Foster. Like I saw Foster.
No, I was at that event because I shot Baker's flip double whip and Scher's 180. Yeah, yeah. So
and so it's like Gutler was there, Cam White was there, and it's like these are the dudes I see at X Games and riding dirt. And I think I can't even remember who else was there, but like Nikus was there, you know. And within time, like my dad said, like, this is super cool. Like I didn't grow up seeing contests like this, you know. And then all the vans that are ride on YouTube, you know, and all the contests that were online that I got to see, obviously Ride BMX did an incredible job with pushing that out to the kids, like videos, content, magazines, everything, you know. And it's like I would rip my favorite photos out of the magazine and I would hang them on the wall, and I'd say one day I'm going to jump down a stair set like Dennis, like Garrett, like like Gary, I'm going to over-ice something gnarly like Harrington, you know. It's like that's what I wanted to be able to do, like posters of Bowen on my wall. And then I met Bowen, you know, and I met him at a Stephen Murray benefit jam, you know. And I had ran into Stephen Murray before, and so my dad's like, that guy was super nice to us. He was, I can't believe what happened to him. Poor guy. Like, let's
Bowen or Steven?
Steven Murray. Yeah, Steven. So we had
both
met Steven Murray
amazing.
At the compound. Like, I know I'm getting completely off topic.
No,
you're
good.
Not. I'm
no,
just
it's all good.
Bad at listening sometimes. Following now.
My dad built an extension on our bike rack.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just invite friends, like, pitching money for gas. We're driving up to Riverside. We're going to these jams. We're going to San Diego. And we'd invite, like, some of our closest friends. And we'd go and sleep at the skate park. And, like, we'd run into guys like Steven Murray, you know. And it was like, from little contests, little jams like that, where we fell in love with the culture and the people that were there, like, I felt welcome straight away. Like, me following a young TJ Ellis through the trails, Andre Ellison. Like,
yeah.
I think Dennis was there. Like, Heath Pinner was there. Like, all these pros. Hucker wasn't even Hucker yet, but he was there. Like, young Larry Edgar when he was on volume. Like, absolutely destroying the compound.
I remember
like,
those
just
days.
Just made me fall in love with BMX in general.
I think I've heard you say something like that, where it's like, if you go to the park and play baseball, you're not going to run into
a pro baseball. You know?
You had a pretty good thing going where you're like, involved in the Arizona and Mexico scene, you know, which is like really different but amazing on its own. But then you could just go 6 hours and it was like you're doing trains with TJ Ellis and Andre Ellison and young Larry Edgar and Justin Spreets there. It's like you had this amazing thing where you could go back home and be part of like a whole different culture. And then 6 hours away, it was like Fudger shooting photos and it was like boom, like the mecca of it. And you could just jump in and out and like
it's super crazy. And so that's what got me hooked. was was being able to run into my Kobe Bryant's, you know, and
you could
and,
just jump into the real life, yeah, or not the real life, but jump crazy. Into the things you see in the magazines. Yeah, like, yeah. Boom, I'm like, here.
I'm here, you know, and Bowen at the end of the day that gave me a pair of his gloves was like so rad watching you rip behind like behind me and all the boys like
we need to get Bowen like, on here off topic
super but crazy,
I
wanted like,
I miss that guy. Yeah. We should talk to him.
Incredible, I don't know if he you know will, and like a pro I get to feel that now, you know, where like I inspire kids to be something they could only dream of, you know, and I was a kid just like every other kid that's looking up to a pro. Yeah.
You are that guy now.
Yeah, so it's,
you happen
it's,
to get better than everybody.
Blessing, yeah.
Without even trying.
It's such a blessing though. Like I ran into Bowen, who I only had posters of on my wall of him three-peating at X Games Dirt, and he's giving me a pair of his gloves that he used that day, and he's telling me I have a bright future and that I could eventually be on a rolling with him one day to keep having fun and to keep doing me, and it's like, he's not telling me
that was a motivation you needed at that moment to keep
like,
it going. Yeah.
As a kid, like I cherish those moments for life. I still have the T-shirt like Robbie Morales, Dave Dillard, and all those dudes signed for me that day. Like crazy. And it's like when it comes to things like that, like going to contests into Mexico and the scene's building up, and you're going in and you're learning and you're slowly competing in amateur classes. Like I said, I rode Chandler and I'd never jumped a spine before. We went to a contest in Hermosillo and they fill up this arena with all these ramps from this smaller company that they were hosting. Like it was like, I believe it was like the first week of June every year back to back. And I remember going as 13 and under and I won the 13 and under beginners class. And I did my first 360 over a spine and I landed dead flat. I didn't even know how to do a wall ride. I was still doing foot plants on the wall because I couldn't wall ride.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is the spine. Like, this is perfect. Like it's got a little gap in the middle. It's like a box. I'm just going to three it. And I won the kids class.
Yeah.
Next year came around and I would just build up like motivation for me to grow and to be better to come back next year and be like, I want to do better than I did the year before. You know, experts class came into play and I won the experts class.
Yeah.
And then the year after that, I was like, I don't know if I could even compete against these pros. The pros in Mexico at the time were killing it, you know? And it's like, you had some of the best dudes that were riding for Haro, Red Bull, Vans, Nike. There's all these pros in Mexico that I was like, damn, so these are the pros in Mexico.
Yeah.
And from that influence, you know, I just got addicted to getting better, you know. Yeah. And David and I would go to these contests. Victor and Eddie were way too young at the point. They weren't even riding like we were, you know. And I'm 25, Victor's gonna be 19, so
yeah, 6 years
apart. Victor's not even riding yet, you know. Yeah. But we're at these contests in Mexico and David and I are building challenges to ourselves. Like, hey, last year we competed in this class. Let's move up this year. And it's this small little contest in Mexico, but it was so motivational for us to grow in a full year to come back, you know, and to try new tricks. Like I remember him and I learning like the craziest stuff in the contest. Like we didn't have a foam pit then, you know, it was like the foam pit came after. And so we're
back in the day when you learned tricks at contests.
That's amazing. You jumped down to the Mexico scene that, you know, we didn't really know about. And then you came over to the California scene at the same time. Like,
and so I'm getting
and they didn't know about that. You had these
two
really cool things going on.
Having a supportive family just makes all the difference.
All the difference. And it really does. And that's one thing I can tell.
And the international family too. That's super dope. Being able to bounce back and forth between cultures like that.
Yeah. And going into Mexico wasn't super easy, you know. Obviously it costs money to fly down south, and I think one of the very first
you're flying down there when you're doing
no, we're driving into the first contest, like the first little jams. There was one in Hermosillo, a little jam, and I actually posted a photo recently of like my first, it was like the first photo ever documented of me at a contest, and I'm doing this really bow-legged like not extended Superman, and I for some reason, like, out of everyone that rode that contest, I was probably in the kids class, but I'm doing this bow-legged Superman and I'm like smiling and like cringing in the camera, and the local newspaper put me on the cover of the newspaper that weekend, and it's like, I still have that photo, and it's one of those things where it's like, that was the first contest I ever rode.
That's cool.
And I didn't even know, it wasn't like, I think the best part about it, you know, where I grew up racing and I would see a lot of my friends' parents be super strict with them, that a lot of my friends got burnt out really easy and stopped riding completely. As in, my dad would say, go out there, have a good time. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. Every day is a learning process. Yeah. Every day is a learning curve. If you fall, then you know what you did wrong. The next time, you're not going to fall.
The contest was just a fun day. And the contest was just a fun day. The next day, you guys are going to go do something different.
Yeah, because I'm riding these small little events, and my dad has no pressure of anything. Like, we financially got there. We were there. We were having a good time. He got to see the culture again. He got to be involved with the people and the friends that he grew up riding with that we're now putting these little events on. It's crazy. It really is. Like,
I mean, it seems like you have that same mentality even with like X Games stuff.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, like it's like it's almost carried over. And sometimes I want to be like, you're lying, you know, like,
but a fees in China. One of those fees I went to is like the middle of nowhere China. And he ripped up the park contest. I think your bike got there late. So you like,
yeah,
you didn't have all the practice, but you still just like killed it with like a few practice runs. And then you went and rode the street contest that I didn't even know there was one. And I looked over and you were riding a street contest like harder. I was like, this run could have won like Street X Games. Like if this was like, you know, like what is he doing? You're just riding.
Riding. It's beautiful. And I think a lot of the riders I look up to from, you know, you don't throw yourself in one closed-minded circle of I'm only going to ride ramps. You know, I didn't grow up riding ramps and I grew up riding everything. So it's like some days I didn't have a backyard setup. And I was riding the front yard and I was riding the curb and it was a 2 foot curb, but I was 180ing up and half cabbing off. Yeah. And I learned every single foot jam trick in my front yard. And I think if I go back now to our old home, there's still black marks on the road.
Christian and Chad were talking about like, dude, he is so good. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. He won a dirt X Games, a park X Games. He killed it on the real street X Games. I'm like, why would you not expect this? And they're like, oh yeah, that is that same thing. He's been doing that. Like he is that good, huh? I'm like, yeah, he is that good.
I don't know.
I guess we're jumping around a little bit, but like the feast events, like those are pretty serious events these days.
Yeah, especially now with all the federations being involved, super serious. So.
And I don't know how to structure this sentence, but like there's a lot of dudes that are taking it very serious. And sometimes I think you're taking it serious, but I can't tell. But I think that sort of mentality that you have with it, like, kind of pisses off some of the other guys.
I think so.
And so, I had
pisses me off.
I went to Feast Japan. That was the only feast I had ever been to. And there was a direct quote, and it came from one of the judges. So I'm pretty sure I know it's true that, I'll just fucking say his name, Marin Rantes said, how did Kevin make finals? He's bitching to the judge. How did Kevin make finals? He didn't even do anything hard.
Yeah, and I
so I'm being an antagonist.
And
right
Kevin's
now.
Like, yeah, it wasn't hard. I don't know.
But that's the thing is, I think that's
sure
the way
Kevin can't answer that question.
That's the way he carries himself with it. Where it's like, oh yeah, like I'll just do the Superman seat grab and like and look at the crowd because I'm having fun and I'm doing what I want to do. Mean, and so I think that was one where I think you qualified first or second.
I qualified first in the qualifiers.
And that course was very...
It's so basic.
That course was very basic, but when you wrote it, it looked so... Like, you know, everyone else was doing the most amazing tricks, you know, the gymnastics style tricks, Gary would call them, which are beautiful. Yeah. But you went out there and did it. Sure. You rode the course way different. We're doing crank arm slides and cab whips and then Superman seat grabs And I think that's what showed, you know? And then that's why those guys don't get it, because I did a flip triple whip too, you know? What the heck?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think it goes back to the basics, you know, where you're at a contest where, yes, it's a serious contest. Like, and I feel like a lot of guys that say they're not competitive are going to lie to you and say, like, I'm competitive to myself. And at the end of the day, I have this mental vision or I visualize this run of what I think is cool. And if one of my friends does the trick that I had visualized, I'm not going to do it because I have respect for my friends doing that trick. But because then it turns into a competition, like my friend right before me did a three whip to table and I either have to do it better than him, higher than him, smoother than him,
or change my trick.
Yeah.
And so I'd rather just change my trick.
But I don't think those dudes have that ability to do that. They've been working for 3 days on the run. The run that they have has the best score, you know? Like,
and to those guys' defense, it's their livelihood, you know? They might ride for their country that's paying them this much money to do good in these contests. Where Kevin's got 700 options that year of what is going to be cool. So I think it's, you know, the stress that those guys get, it's just
pressure. Because, like, that dude got, like, 14th or something. Like, however many they got in the finals, like, he was out by a spot or two. Like, it took 12.
I'll be honest,
a couple out. And then he was, like, how did the guy that got first make it into finals? Like, he didn't, he's like, I don't understand how he made it to finals. Like, and it's just like,
well, that's it. Those guys are training in their resi rooms and they don't see what Kevin's doing. And that's why everybody in front of him, he's probably like, oh, they did an extra whip, you know, like he could understand it. And I don't get why Kevin crank arm sliding, he crank arm slid the side of the box jump. Like, you know, like it's probably, it's probably really confusing when you're just staying in your very small little world.
I think when it comes to riding for myself, like I see there's, you know, there's 12 of the best dudes in the finals and they're all doing the same line. It gets boring. To the judges, it gets boring. And I mean, I'm not a judge, but if I'm on the course and I'm watching 12 guys do the same thing, I'm going to be like, oh my God, another one. And it's like, no offense, but it's not even about doing the hardest tricks. It's where you do them, honestly. And I think a lot of that factor comes into play. Like, I jump the box and I get my speed and I figure out the speed for the box to an extent, and I don't even trick it until I have to trick it.
Yeah.
So I know what I can do over a box, but can I do the same thing over this crazy weird pocket wall? You know, and it's like being different is a factor I really look into play for contests. And I remember Marin saying that exactly. Like, I was maybe 5 or 10 feet away. I remember. and it's like, I don't know, like, no offense, I'm friends with Marin.
I'm still friends with him. Cool. I'm sure he's not trying to dig you.
No, he's not against me.
You just lose it, I think, at a certain point when you don't make finals and you have all this pressure on you.
So much pressure, and, like, with him not making it in, you know, and it's like, I get it, you know, like, you go into defense mode and you want to know why you didn't get scored better than a few other guys, you know, and like I said, I like Marin, he's super awesome, but I heard that, and you know, you come to that extent of, like, oh, like, that's what they think, like, and
yeah, he thinks he didn't do anything hard.
Yeah, so it's like, you get insecure and it's like, well, I did what I wanted to do. Like, I can do everything else that everyone's doing. Like, I've done all those tricks before. Like, I learned them all, but it's like, they're not fun for me anymore. I think at the end of the day, a lot of guys will fall into that, you know, mental battle. There's a lot of pressure now. A lot of federations that are paying for their travels. Like, I love that a lot of my friends that weren't financially set with sponsors, with budget, are now traveling because of the federations. Like, I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
But you're traveling 16 hours across the world to a country that you've never been to a city you've never been to, with all this history, and you're right next to this atomic bomb site, and there's all this history. The least you can do is enjoy it. You have 2 1-minute runs. The least you can do is enjoy it. Like, I'm not gonna sit on a 17-hour flight to Japan and beat myself up because I didn't make it into a final, despite me doing good or not. And it's like, I enjoyed what I did despite making it into finals. Like, I love what I do, and like, yes, we're competing against all these dudes for points and for medals and for prize money and for trophies and whatever it is, but there's a crowd, which means we're giving them a show. A Superman sea grab is relatable to a crowd. It really is. And how can I get the crowd hyped? I'll do a Superman sea grab.
Superman sea grab is relatable to any BMXer too. Because you can do a terrible one and it's like, ugh, but if you do a real good Superman sea grab, everyone likes that.
And it goes into the basics. Like a Superman sea grab, like, I love the trick from when Nasty and Lavin used to do, like, the dirtiest ones, like, to still bringing those tricks around. You don't see them anymore, even though they can all do them. So it's like, how can I step outside of the box? I'm going to do tricks that no one's doing, whether they're easy or not. And, like, throwing a simple Superman in a contest run to hype up the crowd, which hypes up the MC, which the MC gets hyped on you create this ball of energy in the contest, in the whole atmosphere of the event. Like,
we're recording this. You're telling contest secrets right now.
But I'll tell
next
everyone.
Year everyone's gonna be doing a show before
I
they
think
drop
that's
in.
The thing though, is like Kevin puts together like a pretty package, you know, like
he understands almost like technical tricks going
back to the V sandwich thing. Like, it's almost that version of it with I don't know, but we're way over.
No, it's the same thing.
Like,
looking at
bread,
it
like lettuce, meat, mustard. Yeah. You know, like the whole package.
Taste it all. Yeah.
Yeah. The Superman sea grabs the pickle.
Yeah.
You know, like it's that type
for
of
sure.
thing.
He looks at the whole,
like,
picture from the beginning of his run to the end of his run, and putting it all together beautifully. Because it's not the tricks you do. It has to start hard, end hard. The middle's got to be dope.
It's like a book. It's like a book. It's got to catch your attention at the beginning.
It's like a sandwich.
It's like a sandwich. So, and I say,
shout out to V.
His podcast was great.
I say the book as an example because, like, people judge books by their cover all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And like a photo. You judge,
it's almost like
photo.
The practice runs or something. Like,
yeah. And
you
I hear it all
book.
The time. And Dares being one of the greatest ramp riders of all time.
And
like,
shit talkers.
And shit talkers. He's a good friend. And he says, I never know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know what you're going to do. Yeah. I said, I don't even know what I'm going to do. It all just fluctuates on how I feel. And I feel like BMX is all about the feeling. BMX is all about how you feel that day. Like, if I don't feel like riding hard today, I'm not going to ride hard today. I don't, there's days I don't want to do any tricks. As in, and then there's days where I show up and it's only a semifinal and I feel the best I have the whole week, and I've been riding street the morning prior, before and after, while everyone took the shuttle to the contest. I was riding an hour before, warming up, yeah, sessioning with my friends. Oh, like, oh, we have practice in 15 minutes. We better rush.
Yeah.
I show up, I'm already warmed up, and everyone drops in super hungry, trying to warm up on this park, not enjoying it, not even the practice. It's a big tease. They build us these incredible courses and we only get 1 hour practice.
Yeah.
And I just want to keep riding. So it's like, I'm like, all right, this is the time, like, full throttle. I'm going to do everything I can to have fun, to do things that stand out, to bring a little bit of everything, you know? And it's like, why not?
Do you think the other competitors, the ones that are serious, respect that? Or do you think they just don't get it? Or disrespect it, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I try to be as
because you know all those
everyone as I can.
All those dudes are there to win, essentially.
Yeah, and I feel
get
like
points and stuff like that. So it's like, if
I'm there too, I'm there at a contest. I'm
you want to be in the Olympics.
Yeah, I'm at the contest because I potentially want to be on a podium, but it doesn't kill me if I don't make it in. You know, it's like, it's always a learning experience, regardless. Like, I didn't place today. Like, I did everything I could. Well, maybe they're looking for more of this. Oh, that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and it doesn't faze me. As in, there's other times where I'm like, damn it. Like, I washed out on a fakie. Like, what the hell am I doing? Like, today wasn't the day.
Yeah.
And then I see dudes launching their bikes and kicking their back wheel in because they're taking their anger out on their bikes because, they've been working super hard for this one weekend. As in, like, I'm healthy. I'm going to go back home tomorrow. I'm just going
to
ride tomorrow anyways. Like, who cares? Like,
I guess
it's just
that goes back to
riding, you know?
What,
and it's like,
what Dennis says is this is, for a lot of those dudes, this is the moment.
This is the moment.
They're
going
home to train for the next one, and
you're
going on a trip, to the Cayman Islands
back and film a Christian and do whatever else.
And I'm very lucky. I really am, but that's what BMX is all about.
I wouldn't say lucky. You just set yourself up to where you like to ride everything, and it doesn't put you in one
position.
And there's nothing wrong with focusing on one thing, but that is where you're going to...
My bike setup is different from a lot of ramp riders riding fees.
Yeah.
Four pegs, free coaster, heavy as hell, no brakes, and... A lot. I don't need, my tires are big as hell and I have low PSI and it's like, I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? but I feel like I'm in my zone. Like I'm my own me. Like in life, like you are yourself. There's no one like you in life.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do I have to copy everyone's setup? Like, this is what I want. Like, and I've heard a few people say like, yo, you should try to lighten up your bike. And it's like, I like it like that. Like, because I can go out after this contest and go jump a 16 stair and my bike's going to hold up, and that's what I want. Like, I want to be able to ride. And I feel like throughout my life, I've evolved with, I don't know if I want to pick up my seat or put a thin seat or a fat seat or brakes or no brakes or coaster or cassette or pegs, no pegs, to like, this is what I want now. And like, I love this. Like, I can ride anything everywhere. And I love how my bike feels. Like, I don't know. Like, I rode this weekend. Well, this last time I was in China, I rode park, qualified into finals, and I was riding the street contest prior park finals because it was cold. I just wanted to ride. I was like, I'm cold. I just want to go ride. I'm riding the street contest, and I won street best trick right before the park finals that got rained out, And the only reason I didn't ride the dirt finals was because it interfered with my park practice. And I was like, well, like, the dirts are like, they're whatever. Like,
they're kind of weird, right?
Three straight jumps. Yeah. It was like... Yeah. They're fun. Like, I rode the semifinals. Like, I did what I wanted to do. Like, there's not really much I'm going to turn up instead of... It's at the end of the day, I was like, it's just going to be more content.
Yeah.
And I feel better for park, and I'm just going to cruise the park anyways. Like, and there's times where, like, yes, I'm not super competitive, but I pick and choose my battles. Like, well, I could skip park practice and possibly podium in dirt, but then if park happens, then I won't feel ready.
Yeah.
And ready as in, like, ready to play, And
yeah.
When you said, like, do you think they respect it? Like, I don't know. Like, I try to stay mutual with everyone and all the relationships and people I meet at contests. There's a lot of, like, close-minded dudes and obviously guys that are there with federations that don't know BMX and don't understand why I don't.
Different cultures.
Different
as
cultures,
well.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it where they're not necessarily, like, I don't know. I don't want to insult them and say they're not BMXers, but they didn't grow up.
They didn't grow up with
the
culture,
the same culture that we do. So it just clashes with us. Where it's like, it's not really about all the tricks.
No, that's what I said. It's not about the tricks. You can get a kid doing all the tricks he wants, but if it doesn't look nice, like, oh well, 360 tables are super easy. Like, how many people do flip triple whips? It's like, yeah, but I can go and learn that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And not, no offense, but it's like, I work hard, just as hard as people do to learn flip triple whips or flip double whips, as I do to make a 360 table look good. Like, yeah, I work hard to make it look good, and that takes time. It's not overnight. And so I have a lot of passion with a lot of the tricks that I do, because it's like simplicity, yes, perfection, yes, height, yes, style, my own style. Like, it creates a personality in my riding. Like, I'm very joyful when I ride. Like, I forget about every problem in life when I ride my bike. So if I can spread that to the crowd, to the people watching, like, I've heard stuff from people that, like, with all the federations being there, there's all these like nutritionists and like psychologists or
sports
doctors coaches. And they say, I don't really understand a lot of stuff you do because it's really different from everyone else. But I felt a lot of joy from watching you ride. Like, and that was really fun to watch. And it's like, oh, cool. She doesn't know BMX or he doesn't know BMX, but I put a smile on their face. Like, that's cool for me. Like, and that's really refreshing for me.
I mean, I feel like I'm just not. A podcast just makes me, I feel like I'm just going to say negative stuff all the time, but my problem with the fee stuff is like when they have a score, it's like, all right, a cash roll whip is worth X points. So everybody's going to drop it. You know, like, score for tricks? You know, like that Nitro event that they had where they actually had predetermined scores for tricks.
Oh, well, you had to call out your run. It was like, and three so you jumps, had to three tricks, and they would say like, okay, well, if you do that run, it might be scored this.
Yeah.
It's like,
and it was pretty wild. I know Dennis's eyebrows definitely furrowed.
Was that just jumps or was it?
It was like the resi jump thing.
See fees being like that, but they do have a criteria of like,
but big, there's like
big tricks.
Yeah. Like there's the dude, judged, I feel like the dudes see Logan Martin. And they see what he does and they go, all right, he gets scored really well. I need to learn those tricks. And then that's why there's it's like a homogenization of like tricks in those style of events, where it's like it's a bunch of tail whips and it's a bunch of bar spins, and it gets a little redundant, and it almost everybody starts looking the same because they're all searching for the guy that has the best score, which is Logan Martin.
And I think
everybody's trying to look like Logan Martin and do the same tricks that Logan Martin is. And this is where people don't like me.
That really happens with the dialed,
you know, but
that really happens with the basic courses. I think the more you dumb down a course,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The more you see that Logan's winning, and I have a foam bit and a spine, and I'm going to do this stuff.
Creative writing.
Well, it's really hard to get creative, you know. If there's no sub rail, if there's no this and that, like a lot of guys, like I've talked to Michael Laren about it, and he's like one of the most amazing big ramp riders. A lot of people don't know that because they just see his X Games.
Everybody that sees Michael ride, they are like, holy
shit. If Dutour was around still, those courses had fences you could jump over.
I remember he won like one of the first free flow tours.
Yeah.
So it's like, and he's like one of the best.
Those courses though had options. You didn't have to even, no foam pit necessary if you really wanted, you know. You could, like Morgan Wade versus Josh Harrington versus Dave Mira, you know.
Big pockets in the rails and the curved wall.
Now with the dumbing down of the courses, it's getting confusing for people. And
well, it's like,
when Kevin does good, it's like, what the heck, he didn't do the box jump trick we were expecting. And
I think that's where Kevin stands out to a nurse, you know, like wow, like you did stuff that,
and
how
he smiles
really
the whole time. He's
and he does, yeah.
Oh, he's cute and he smiles. Oh, and that Cermenzi grab right was now. Nice when he looked at me and winked.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like I respect all of that riding, of course. You know, it's just hard.
Same.
It's hard when you're watching.
They're all turning into each other almost.
Well, when you're watching the best guy,
and then
there's the guys that aren't as good as the best guy trying to be the best guy, and that's a difficult thing where it's like you're not. It's you can compare like this. I'm trying to find an analogy. Like, this is the fastest car. This is the second fastest car. This is the third fastest car. And that's
what's pretty cool, though, when you get a guy like Brandon Lupos in there who's, you know, you could say similar, but he's different because he's just like sending it and throwing bangers. We didn't expect him, but maybe he's winning now.
And under pressure, he's a beast. And it's like,
and he doesn't. He just sits there during practice when you see everyone else just working on their runs.
Cases a few hips and laughs about it, and then he's
And then like, they call his name.
Lupos is kind of on your level too, because I mean, he goes to the Vans events, and he kind of transcends that stuff. So
I think he wants it too. And
I think
he treats everything exactly the same.
Like, I love Lupos. I'm not even everybody else. Like, I just think it's when you're watching it from an outside perspective.
I thought we were getting negative here. What happened?
Fuck everybody except for Logan Martin.
You talked about some negativity. Now you're giving everyone props. What is this, Fudger?
No, I just, you know, I think, you know, when I make a video when I make a video and I have to choose a YouTube thumbnail, it's like generally Kevin gets the thumbnail because he has something that looks good and it stands out from everything else, where it's like, all right, this guy, and something over a hip, like, oh, like we got a good angle of this hip. And it's like, all right, everybody double whips the hip or something.
Z was showing me some photos from a monster contest and he's like, dude, everyone's sequence except for here. I got 20 good photos of Kevin because you just keep doing cool. You're
Kevin
like,
and Pat.
Like,
yeah. Kevin and Pat from all of those monster triples events, Kevin and Pat.
They know they got
the most. I have the most, like when I organize all the clips, Kevin and Pat, longest timeline. But each, you know, and same for Jeff when he's shooting photos. It's just like, it's picturesque bike riding. It's good looking bike riding to the point that the nurse can tell that as well. She doesn't know how to describe it.
Down whip to regular.
Yeah, she doesn't know why she enjoys it, but she enjoys it.
And, I think the challenge too, it's like a mental challenge for me to show up to a course and be different. You know, it's like, how can I make this course different? If everyone's riding this line, I want to be in the way, getting in their way, like through practice. They're all training this gap to wall. I'm gonna hit it backwards.
Yeah,
like it's like, I'm not mean, but it's like, how can I get in their way without them being bummed, you know? And like I said before, I have a mutual relationship with all these dudes, and I show up to the same contest and a hello goodbye like friends. But I do see like this energy that builds up differently through dudes where they sit in their own corner and they're like headphones on and they're on
Mom's
their road
spaghetti.
Bikes sprinting before. And it's like, I love that they're like that disciplined, you know, but you have to remember to love it as well. And to
what
enjoy
do they do?
The moment,
what do they
you know?
Do now? They like, do do they raise their seat post up or something? What do they
have?
Do?
They have a stationary road
bike.
Yeah,
they have
with
a stationary
bike. And it's like, that's, like I said, it's cool. It's respected.
Crazy.
And
it's crazy.
You want to be a greater athlete, you have to work on your not only mental but physical health, and if that helps them keep their blood flowing, as in like
that's what made Mira succeed. He was the first like full blown real BMX athlete he cross trained and he worked on every aspect of his bike riding that made him a better bike rider. So
you've been working out with my boy Chad and Coach John up in North.
Coach John,
how's that been? You were never last year when we went on a trip. You were watching me stretch, eating a popsicle, laughing at me. You know,
I stretched for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, your stretching was like moving around. All right, I'm good. But now I can't believe you're in the gym with Chad.
It's really cool. And like I said, like with injuries and stuff, like they build up in your body, and you want to take care of yourself. You want to feel better. You want to ride more. Like the end goal is longevity. How long can I ride BMX for? I've been riding a lot of road bikes as well. It's like, how can I feel better when I ride BMX? And at contests, like I feel like the only reason why I mess up and get bummed at myself for messing up is because I get tired. And so it's like, I'm tired of getting tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just want to feel good and finish and be like, I'm ready for another run. Like, throw me in. And other times I'm like, oh my God, get me out of here. Like, I'm way too tired.
So
I just run off of adrenaline, you know, but like going to the gym and focusing on that and perfecting that is making me feel a lot better while I ride.
So is it like for everything? Because right now you just, with the COVID thing, you know, contests have been kind of put on pause for a second, but you've been riding street with Christian and Chad. And would you say it's helping at all, or have you noticed it?
I think so, yeah. You know, when it comes to having compressed ankles and like a compressed back after a long time, like I'm getting worked on that, and I'm working all the muscles I didn't even know how to use, you know, and deadlifting weight that I never thought I could even do. And it's like, if I can deadlifts, you know, more weight than I need to or enough to make me feel better to ride my bike when my bike, you know, your bike's what, 25 pounds usually, you know, and if you can pick that up for 10 hours straight without struggling, like, you know, that's the goal. Like,
10 hours
long,
straight.
You know, like, well, you're doing bunny hops all day long, you know, and riding street.
And you do ride
super,
a lot.
I ride a lot, but then there comes a point where I'm so burnt out the next day I don't even feel like riding, you know, and it's sometimes I ride because it's I'm running off of adrenaline or just joy or just like new setup, like excitement, you know, and I definitely see like ankles building up, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't, you know, my older brother David and my little brother Victor both had ACL surgeries, you know, and it's like I felt like a slight bend on one of my knees recently and I said, I don't want that. Like, let's build around that. Let's work around that. Let's take care of our bodies like the most we can. Like I said, longevity is the goal. Like, I want to wake up and feel
great
tomorrow.
That's really smart. You're what, 25, 26?
25, and like,
maybe. So you're like Chad's age, and you guys are already working on preventative.
And I hear it all the time, like, precautions. I wish I would have started at your age. Like, I wish I would have started maybe, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah, but it's good you didn't know.
And I, like I said, I go to these feast contests, and all these dudes are super ready to go and built up, and like, you know, they have their nutritionist, and they know what to eat, and it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, all right, well, I'm here. I pedaled here like 10 miles. Like, that's cool. Like,
it's whatever. Cool. And with Coach John, shout out to Coach John up in Carlsbad. Like, you get to go with Chad. And
oh, yeah. It's super motivating to see.
He's rad. You know, Sheckler's in there too. He's like, he knows how to work action sports, dude. It's not just like a normal football coach guy who just has no clue what you're doing. He watches our videos. Exactly. He knows how you
he
land.
He studies us and like sees our failures is what he calls them. And it's like, hey, oh, the reason why you fell here is like, look at the give on your knee here. And like your knee's bending here on your slight squat. It's like, you can't do a regular squat without your legs bending.
Something's wrong. Something's he sees wrong. That. So he's so sees good. That.
And it's like I said, that's one thing I didn't have as an option in Arizona. I didn't have a trainer like that, an option to train with someone that knew my sport. Or
another perk of SoCal.
Another perk.
Yeah, like, I never think of something like that.
It's like in Arizona, I didn't ever go to the gym because I didn't know what I was doing. It was just wasting my time. Like, I'm not going to go to the gym. Like, okay, whatever.
I'm sure there's someone good out there, but you know, like, it's so nice just to, you can just roll up, ask me or Chad, like, who do you guys go to help with injuries?
And somebody
like,
you can trust right away.
Try this dude. And the first day you go, you're like, wow, this guy knows his shit.
You know, and like, I fell in Dallas earlier this year and I crunched my lower back and it was such a rough fall and I had like a slight nerve pinch in my back. Coach John mentioned it to Coach John straight away, started working out different muscles in my back to a point where I don't even feel it. I completely forgot.
It's amazing.
And it's like, that's why I go into the gym. It's not to get stronger. It's to work on the prevent injuries, you know, and going back to the fees conversation, like, you have Logan Martin. You have all these kids looking up to Logan Martin because he's the number one dude in all these contests. You got Brandon Lupos and Logan Martin. It's like top, you know, they're the top scoring country right now, battling for their spot, you know. And obviously, like, Nick Bruce, and there's Danny Sandoval that's always there, you know, and Justin Dow, all these names that are up there. But kids see Logan Martin and they see how many contests he's won. They're going to follow the same footsteps of the same tricks. And that's completely fine. Like, I was watching videos of Webby and I would do the same thing Webby was doing to a point where I was like, okay, I got done with that, move on. Like, who else can I get inspiration from? Yeah. It's like, now all these different doors of all around riders have inspired me to be different and not just good at one thing, but good at everything. Like, you gotta throw all these dudes in a random skate park and tell them, compete here. Boise, for example, we get thrown into Boise to qualify for X Games, one of the biggest contests of the year.
Yeah.
And half of the dudes that go complain about the course because they hate it, because they don't like it, because the transition's this and the hips this and it's slippery that and it's super weird. And it's like, okay, you consider yourself one of the best in the world. You should be able to adapt to this and be able to ride this.
Yeah.
And going back to like how Marin said, like, how did he make it into finals and I didn't, doing what he did? And it's like, well, I did things no one else did. And it might not be hard, but no one else did it. And it takes time to learn, you know. It's like a pedal grind on the side of the box and everyone else did a truck over it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and I count how many people do filler tricks, you know, and it's all these mediocre filler tricks. You get this book and it's like BMX, BMX, BMX. And it's like one big heavy trick on the box, a five flare or a flare whip here and everything else. Down whip, double down whip, wall ride, bar, truck, double truck. Flare bar. And it's like everyone does the same filler tricks. Yeah. And it's like, to me, it's like, especially risk for reward, you know, like you can't even put a foot down and make it into finals at a fees because it's super strict when it comes to that. So you got guys like Kenneth, who's this crazy ball of energy and you never know if he's going to, what he's going to do. And he drop in flares from the biggest wall and puts it together and switch double truck over the spine and hands like almost catching crossbar and puts it together. And it's like, it's exciting because he's doing stuff that's risky and it doesn't get rewarded because, it wasn't clean enough. And it's like, yeah, but he's doing stuff no one else is doing that should get rewarded differently. It should get put onto play. Like, I do technical tricks in the middle of my run to nose 360 there and to half cab whip there. And it's like, yeah, that's easy, but try to do that at the end of your run or in the middle of your run and still have enough speed to carve up and flare whip. And it's like,
see, I don't think it's easy though. Doing a G turn or a nose three in the middle of your run.
I do them every day, and I'm not gonna say it's easy. But
yeah,
when I'm
but
in
those
a contest
dudes do triple whips every day too. So
the
he
gym
just,
combo
the
turned back
is,
into
yeah.
these runs.
I know, right?
We're gonna learn how to.
Hold
ride.
On, let's switch subjects from that. But
I mean, despite that, the challenge is the best part about it, and being different is obviously the goal. Always inspire others to be different.
Last touch on it. What is no, it's a little, it's an extension of it. What
is so fun,
no,
man.
Fees is awesome. I have
this
no,
podcast is the fees, how to do good in fees
right?
conversation.
Some secrets.
Yeah. what is your status with the Olympics? Like, what? Where are you at? Are you, you know, I personally don't know anything.
So everything's on pause, and
are you on the Mexico?
So when I first started, I had no idea anything about the license or nothing. So mm-hmm. I said, oh, I'm just gonna sign up as a USA rider just to get a license, just to ride this weekend. And mm-hmm. that's what I did. The year went by and I still hadn't read the rule book or nothing.
How dare you?
You read the rule book?
The rule book with everything, you know, with all this stuff. Like, why do I even need a license? Like, I had no idea. So I said, okay, I got a license, registered as a USA rider.
Yeah, right? Imagine. Thou shalt not.
And I didn't know. They're like, oh, you should switch for Mexico because most countries are only going to get one spot anyways. There's only 9 spots available. Japan gets one because they're hosting country. So that means there's 8 spots available. High scoring country gets 2 spots. That's if there
America,
is
Australia, USA or
yeah, so
or
USA England. And Australia are in first and second right now, yeah. Tying or whatever. And I switched over to Mexico at the beginning of last year. Hiroshima was the first contest I rode for Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of trouble because I didn't know if Mexico was even going to support me. My dad said, look, with BMX being so new in the Olympics, the country isn't going to support you how you would expect them. Like, do this for you. Do this for your personal joy and personal goals. Like, I said, well, he said, you want to ride in the Olympics? I said, hell yeah, the opportunity's there. A lot of guys close their doors straight away saying like, well, I'm not good enough at doing park tricks. I'm not good enough. You know, I've never ridden a feast before. And it's like, I don't even think I can make a final there. So they don't even bother going. So they don't even try. But then you have a few wild cards like Dennis would show up and win one. And it's like, dude, ride these contests. Yeah. And I understand why doesn't ride them all the time. I get it, you know, but then there's Jason Watson, Boyd Hilder, who would just show up just to party all week and ride and make finals, and their stuff was super different. It was incredible, you know yeah. what I mean? But they don't see themselves like, I don't even care. Like, I'm not even going to try to ride that. So it's like they see that door shut for themselves, or they shut that door themselves.
I mean,
and
to
like,
those
walk
guys'
around,
defense,
you know?
I was there with them in France, and it was like, it was just crazy. Like, Boyd got a flat, I got a flat.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
boom,
it was like the worst
over.
Of luck, and they're like,
and
oh.
Jason had fun, but he was like, I'm not, you know, this is
it's
too,
not what,
too
it's not what you want. You know, at the end of the day, you pick your battles, like I said.
And, the fact that Jason even rode a feast event is hilarious.
He did amazing, too.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah,
it was
amazing. Of course.
The whole Montpellier, he was like the star, like mini-ramp.
Killed it in mini-ramp.
Everything. Him and Boyd. Yeah. Boyd won street. Like, they were just like killing that damn
of course.
Action sports festival.
But when it goes to that, I rode a few of those contests, and it was like, obviously I saw the pressure everyone was getting, you know, and it like bummed me out to see a lot of my friends be super hard on themselves. Like, cause like now it's time. Now countries are getting picked. Now spots are being thrown out at you, you know, and I rode Hiroshima last year and qualified top 5, ended up in 4th place. And like, I got Mexico into like 13th in Mexico. And I had Mexico, I think, had gotten a few points from a few of my friends, Pavel Marquez and Netzer Parada. They're like two mm-hmm. of my good friends from Guadalajara. And they went to a feast in Canada 1 year and got points for the country. That was the only reason why the country was even up there. So first contest I ride, Hiroshima, get 4th place, throw Mexico in the top 15. And I said, wow, like the opportunity's here. Like, I'm going to walk straight through this door and I'm going to do everything I can to make it happen, but I'm not going to kill myself over it. Like yeah. the Olympics were never on my life, on my mental path. Maybe they're on my give it, you know, that maybe they're on my cards in life, but it was never like a goal of me to, I want to be an Olympic athlete. It was never in yeah. BMX. No one wanted to be, you know, and it's like that mentality came to me like, well, I'm going to try. It doesn't hurt to try. And a lot of guys aren't trying. Like, the least you can do in life is to try. Like, you never know if you can do something if you don't try. So
are you looking at Dennis when you say that?
He's looking at you.
You guys,
this whole thing
it.
Is to get you into peace.
When you get a podcast and you don't even try. So the opportunity came upon, and I said, well, one country gets a spot. If I qualify Mexico into the top 9 countries, then I would be the first pick.
Yeah.
I'm going. Let's get it done. Went to Hiroshima, got 4th, got Mexico in the top 15. Throughout the year, I went to to Chengdu this last summer. Mm-hmm. This last November, I mean. And got Mexico into 10th place. So, like, I'm technically only 2 spots away. And so wow. I was like, wow.
How are you doing that by yourself? Don't you need 2 people?
You need 2. Well, they take the 2 highest scores from every country. So I don't necessarily need a second person. It would have helped if I had someone.
Because like probably the bottom, you know, bottom 5 countries only have.
Okay.
So like Darius doesn't have another rider. Kenneth yeah. doesn't have another. Oh, he does now, but like
Marin probably doesn't.
Marin doesn't have another rider. So yeah. And Marin's
it's almost harder to be in like the the front five countries because then
there's too many.
There's too many good dudes. That's crazy.
If I would have rode for the
US. So you guys are doing it and getting in the top 10 right now with one dude.
Yeah. And so one dude and the girl went to the Pan Am Games and got fourth. So she's like getting financial support, but she's never been to an actual FIS before. So it's like.
So does Mexico have your back now?
Mexico is slow
coming around.
That whole system's crazy because the Olympics like technically isn't going to be the top 10 dudes at all.
I know, yeah.
It's going to be like
top eight. The top eight.
It's not even the top eight though because you could be like, all right, the second place guy isn't even in there who has a second amount of points, you know? Or unless their country gets two people, but maybe third place guy.
You think of the guys that
can't be in there from England. Like say Ben Wallace is the third place ranked dude.
Oh, yeah.
But they only get one guy.
But
it's like
the 20th place guy gets in there because his team had nice points.
And so it's a little confusing.
Dumb. Really, that is dumb.
It's super confusing for
That's so negative, and Dennis.
I'm gonna give that one a negative vibe right there. Thumbs down. I would.
Now the it needs to be like 20 people in there or something like that. Like 10 is just 10 for.
Well, you're taking away the opportunity from guys like for example, if Dennis rode for the U.S., but first it's coach's pick at the end of the day. So
yeah, I've heard
number
a lot of
one?
Stuff about
Justin
that,
Dowell, so. Danny Sandoval, number one and two in the U.S. So if U.S. gets two spots, then both of those guys get in. But if not, they only get one.
Yeah.
And it's the coach's job to pick who's the more.
And I'm friends with Ryan Nyquist.
Yeah. And so if
he's
so
like,
coach? Nyquist,
he's like, I choose Dennis.
Yeah.
so
he's like the girls' coach, but somehow he throws me in there.
You put Nyquist in the spot of, while I have to pick one of these two incredible athletes that have been working their ass off all year long, or these last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I have to pick one because we didn't do good enough to get two spots. So it's like, it's super hard where it's like maybe one guy had a potential chance of winning a medal, but wasn't good enough throughout the year. And the other guy was killing it all year. And that happened.
So
it's
wild. Isn't that happening with Brandon and Logan?
So yeah. So if Australia doesn't get first place, then only one guy goes in. So who goes in?
And Brandon is currently leading with points, at least as far as I No,
that'd be the hardest pick.
Because
they both
would be the hardest pick because they can both potentially.
But they want Logan. They think Logan is more like
of a medal contingency.
That's what I've heard. I think my source for this is probably Brandon.
But it's like if Brandon does that banger run, nobody can beat him right now.
Oh yeah, Hiroshima. He did one of the best contest runs ever.
He has this run for that basic course. That's like I don't know.
It reminded me that run reminded me of Brett, where it's like no one touched him. It's like he won, and there's still eight guys to go.
Yeah. So what? So Mexico is currently in 10th.
We're in 10th place as in a country.
And then you have a couple more events now because of all the
COVID
stuff.
So the COVID stuff completely canceled Hiroshima this year and the potential Sichuan China contest that was in May. Sichuan?
That's a sauce. I don't know if it's a city.
And so there was, you know, after November when I got thrown into 10th place, I was like, wow, like if I really polish up a few things and work on a few other things and work on
get
my
that
health.
Flip triple whip.
and like I was saying before, like go to the gym and get a trainer and really like work on not getting tired. Like the only reason I mess up is because I get tired. And so I told Dennis this before, like I'm tired of getting tired. I'm going to work on that. So I mentally threw myself in that, you know, on that path of I want to mentally and physically be stronger. So when I do show up to this contest, I just feel good and ready, you know? And so I was mentally ready and physically preparing myself to go to Hiroshima and try to qualify and to potentially make it in. But
you should have moved to North Carolina for sure. Then.
Oh, dude,
that looks fun.
It's cool. They're all riding.
It's crazy. It's what a crazy scene. Yeah. No, it's because Paris moved from San Diego, you know, and it's
a
like,
different
like
team
you have,
man, through
but
everybody's eyes.
San Diego has the USA Olympic facility. Yeah. They built a FIS course that nobody has ridden.
Did
it's
they?
Done. Yeah, it's done.
What?
Nyquist
how do we get in there?
In February or March, right before COVID, Nyquist came down and built
pick.
It. Yeah, and then nobody ever nobody's ridden. It's been sitting there for 3 months.
Wow,
it's insane. So there's literally a FIS course 15 minutes from where we're at.
Wow,
now. Like
oh cool.
So you can't go because you're on Team Mexico.
Yeah, sorry. I just ride Dennis's backyard.
Yeah, that's better.
I'll just have the Federation pay Dennis.
There you go.
Hey, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
you don't got to pay me, but if a Federation is, I'm down.
Yeah. Not my money, someone else is cool.
Yeah.
Hook a homie up.
No,
but,
so that, yeah.
I'm super close. So I feel like mentally and physically, I want to be ready. So when the time does come, like, I can try my best to potentially make it in. And I think my goal is, yes, make it in the Olympics to make BMX look cool and to show that side of BMX. Like, if
I would love, I would love for you to be in the Olympics.
If there's nine dudes in the Olympics, like
really close,
they're
chance.
They're all pretty similar style of riding, and I get to be thrown into that mix, and I get to bring a little bit of my style and flavor to the course. Yeah. Like, despite however it's gonna look, you know, who knows how basic it is. Like, bring something different to the table. Bring that energy and that positive mindset to the course. And
yeah.
It's cool. Rim's like automatically.
Yeah, he's automatically.
He's like,
and he earned
his spot. The
dude
is very different.
That story's crazy. Yeah. Like, Japan gets one card automatically, and he's like, hell no, I'm going to work my way up there and earn that spot. And he earned it. And it's like, such a talented kid, such a good kid with a BMX dad. Like, it reminds me of my story, but in Japan, it's super cool, you know? And
that's an amazing thing with the Olympics is like that kid has the host country.
He literally has like a massive facility now that's like sponsored by a bank.
It looks like a Woodward thing, like from
insane.
A video game.
Like, it's
and it's
insane.
Like, with the Olympics, like, a lot of guys were against it, but it opened that many more doors to other kids in other countries.
Yeah.
Like, China's building skate parks. Like, they had Rob Darden, like a legend.
Opportunities,
coaching.
Great.
Opportunities were incredible, you know, and it's going to continue to open all these doors despite all these, like, tense interactions with everyone at the course, but like
that's
I said,
that's how Dew Tour was though, when there was so much
like,
money up for grabs at each
like,
one of these things.
I got
you know,
to ride
like
a few.
There was the cool dudes, and then there was really serious guys throwing their bikes. It's like your country paying you, or this big contest paying you. Money is gonna make people a little crazy when it comes down to not pulling a rollout or something. You know, like
it's understandable.
It's stressful, and I get it when a lot of the guys only have that. You know, and it's like they want to work every single day for that weekend, you know, but like I said, 17-hour flight across the world to a country you've never been to that got paid by someone else's pocket for you to ride your bike. You better have a good time.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's my mentality daily.
That's true.
Like,
that's,
despite me,
I went
doing
to Tokyo.
Good. Yeah. That's cool. It's like, and you took the advantage. Like, I got my travels paid for and I didn't ride the contest or whatever it may be. And I might as well enjoy the time here.
Yeah.
So it's cool. Close. And I feel like if we just, get
you
it
got
done,
that,
I think
man.
It'd be cool.
That would be epic.
I'm rooting for you, for sure.
It's cool because now I feel like inspired to inspire all these kids in Mexico for the sport to grow that much more. Like I said, all these opportunities will open up not only for me and my family, but for all these kids in Mexico that don't have financial support. Skate parks will potentially get built. Like, I know it will.
Yeah,
you know?
100%.
Like, if I do my part, then the Federation in Mexico will see there's potential. You know, Olympic athletes are going to put everything they can to support the sport that I love, and that's the goal.
And the scene in Mexico is incredibly strong.
Incredible.
And there's so many incredible riders.
And they're
so
passionate about it, and the people that know BMX that don't even ride love it. So it's like, it's cool. I have a super supportive fan base and group of friends and people that just follow me and inspire me to be better daily. So that's the goal. Let's get it done, I think.
You got that.
Should we keep talking about fees?
Yeah, how do you do a fees run?
let's talk about Mongoose a little bit.
Yeah.
Well,
so Mongoose sends me to fees.
Yeah. Right. When did you start riding for Mongoose? And what sponsors did you have before Mongoose?
So,
like, was it Total?
I rode for Total BMX before Mongoose.
Okay.
And
how long ago was that?
2013, the year I won Simple Session for the first time.
Okay.
So Greg Illingworth was riding for Mongoose. I had met Greg at Simple Session, and he said, hey, Mongoose is looking for a new rider. I'd love for you to speak to Chris McCardo at the time. He was in English. He'd run the English distribution. I'd love for you to meet Chris. Like, Chris talked to me a little bit and said, hey, we're looking for a new rider. Like, if you're interested, like, let us know. Here's my contact. And nothing after that, you know? And, I won Simple Session and I was still riding for Total, and Ronnie Remo, like, completely respected my decision. Like, I got an offer of a contract completely like the week after winning Simple Session from Mongoose. Like, hey, like, now we really want you. Like, we really want you to ride for the company. Like, this is a big step for you, for the brand. Like, we're looking to invest into the sport again and to grow it more than it is. Like, they already had like Ben Wallace, Cam White, Greg Illingworth, Paul Ryan, Steve McCann. So they already had like a good group of dudes, but they wanted to just expand more, you know? And I had the blessing to get an offer from Mongoose and to start riding for them in 2013. And I mean, for a company like Mongoose that's been around since 74, to a brand that my dad rode back in the day and it has so much history in the sport from the beginning of what BMX is, you know, it was like a no-brainer, you know? And obviously financial support that I didn't have, travel budget that I needed, you know, like the hardest part about traveling and going to these contests and trying to make a name for yourself is the financial support to get to those events before you even have to do your part of riding hard and making it into the final. So it was a blessing, you know, to say the least.
What was there ever any battle? You said it was an easy decision, but was there ever any battle? Because at least within BMX, Mongoose is mostly like a big box brand where they make
basic it for kids.
Yeah, so they have bikes on Amazon, they have bikes in Walmart and stuff like that. And you know, it's like when we post something on Instagram and people are like, "Oh, Walmart, blah blah blah." But like, I always contend that getting a kid a bike that is within BMX, you know, like what is like a
core.
No? Yeah, like, well, just like a non-BMX brand that doesn't float up anything. They don't have any riders. They don't have any culture. They don't have any involvement within BMX. So
Mongoose is selling these bikes at Walmart, which who cares, because someone's getting a BMX bike and they're using the money for cool shit.
Yeah,
just
it's
like taking the money and being like, we're going to keep making shitty bikes. And
exactly. So not
that Mongoose is
like,
no,
but
not
it's
that,
an intro. Yeah.
The Walmart bikes. I'm saying.
Yeah, like it's an intro bike, but they're trying to bring people into BMX. And I think, and I don't have any problem with that because that parent is going to go to the store and they're going to buy a BMX bike. So it might as well be a brand
that supports
BMX and is doing their best to not just get a profit margin, but to like deliver a decent experience for that first bike. Because if they deliver just a shitty product that they're just making
money off of, and
the kid breaks it and doesn't have a good time with it, then he's not going to stick with it. But if they deliver an experience and there's Peraza's on it, and then he looks up your Instagram and he looks at, you know, and look types of your name into YouTube, and you're like a real person.
Mom and dad looks up.
They get that bike and they see so much. They're pushing so much more into BMX instead of that kid being like, all right, well, I'm going to get a mountain bike next because this sport's, they're putting a lot of money into this. And this, not a lot of money, but there's shit behind it, you know? Back, like, if no one gave back, if Mongoose wasn't giving back to BMX, it would just be like,
exactly,
what's the point of keeping riding this bike? There's not even, is there dude doing this? Like, am I by myself here?
So that's my defense. Like, I always think that when there's people talk shit on it on Instagram or whatever else, like, I just think that they don't really get it.
The kid doesn't know to go to the bike
shop. They don't get it.
I was like that too. You
so
know,
was there ever a battle where you're like, oh, this isn't like, you know, this isn't a core BMX brand, like this is a big box brand, or did you?
I mean, I at the beginning I had no idea what I was getting into. Well, I was like, okay, well, like, do you guys make pro frames? Because there's none on the market at the time.
Yeah,
I had no idea what was gonna happen. And then obviously, you know, they would make us American made custom frames just for us. You know, and our goal was to push those basic beginner bikes to the kids, and obviously to grow BMX in the company. And I think the first thing I learned from the company was, without you guys, we're not a brand. So we want to support you guys 110% along the way to make you guys live easily. I mean, that much to ride and be better as riders, but to live like the easiest life possible, like with you guys growing our brand. So getting into that, it was like, I didn't know. So I asked, obviously, like, opinions from my friends. Like, I asked Pat. Pat's one of my good friends. And one of my first legit contracts was Mongoose, where I was like, what do you think? He said, honestly, bro, if you think it's going to benefit your career, like, and you're going to go outside of, and no offense, like, I rode for Total and they were incredible and super awesome. And obviously, like, Webby and Colborn. But he said, you're going to be stuck in their shadow forever. He said, like, if you stay with Total, despite you making the most, you know, the most money possible, you're still going to be in their shadow because they started the brand and they created like that brand themselves, you know? So that was one thing where I was like, well, I kind of do feel like left out, you know, I do ride a little bit different than them all, you know? And like I said, no offense, they're all really good friends, but I just felt like it was time to move on and to try something new. And for a brand like Mongoose to offer me a contract, it was, you know, I was like, well, like, this is the opportunity to not only grow as an athlete and to grow as, you know, as a rider, but to also make this brand cool again. Like, how can we make this brand cool again? And he said, whatever brand and decision you decide to take, he's like, you can make anything look cool, bro. Like, you can do anything you want and kids will be hyped on it. So if you ride for a brand like Mongoose, you know, maybe more kids will be hyped on it, you know? And with time, I started seeing stickers on helmets. With time, I started seeing kids with complete Mongoose bikes at the park and they're figuring it out, you know? And it's like, I was there to see that, you know? And fast forward a few years later, now Pat Casey rides for Mongoose. And it's like,
Like, and Pat's like 3 years younger than you, correct? Wasn't he giving?
He's a year older than me.
Oh, you're older. Wow,
you're bad with age.
I laced
which
that,
which is awesome.
And,
4 years off.
And not that Mongoose wasn't cool, because the brand itself is like a massive corporate company, but they were never core cool. Like kids that rode BMX and rode, you know, a complete cult bike were like, oh, that dude rides a Mongoose. Like, it's so cheesy. Like,
yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
How many of those do you break? You know, and yeah. It's like, I'm like, hey, this is actually a pro frame. Like, they take care of me. Like, yeah, they don't have this on the market, but like, our goal is to push kids to ride BMX, and they're giving back, doing Mongoose jams, you know, like,
yeah, the Am Jam stuff is cool. Yeah, like, those are,
it's an amazing direction. It's got an all-star team. You guys,
it's
do dope
cool,
trips.
Yeah,
they do these crazy jams,
amateur contests, and give back to the kids that are just getting started, which is the end goal, is to get a kid riding BMX, you know, and it's like,
it's a different direction, but it's a cool direction.
Cool direction.
I think that's something that BMX does a pretty we could have a lot of room for improvement, is to bring in new kids and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, like, I've kind of switched on the whole scooter thing, where it's like, oh, like, it's that kid could just ride BMX, like, hey, you know, ride my bike, like,
yeah,
you know, I don't
and
bring him down and so he thinks all BMXs are assholes
and never,
you know, whereas like five years ago,
that's the worst thing.
Yeah, so it's like yeah, man, like, that's sick, like, you should try a bike too, like, they're pretty fun, like, you could probably go higher, you know.
Yeah.
like that's sort of my mentality these days, and I think other brands and you know, and I think brands making the Striders and stuff like that is all super cool, and I think Mongoose plays its role in BMX, the ecosystem of BMX, and I think they do it very well, like, just with the jams and stuff.
With the
like
Mongoose
that,
jams, so. Like, I got to ride a Mongoose jam before I was on Mongoose, so I got to see that side of all these corporate dudes I thought were gonna show up in a suit and a button up, where they're supporting, didn't know much about BMX, and like now it's Lee Ramsdale, and he has incredible communication with everyone that works in the office, and now they all know BMX, which is really cool. Like, we got these, you know, moms and dads that never knew BMX, and they only worked for this company that sold BMX, but they also sold all these other things, like, to now actually follow the sport and maybe push their kid into riding BMX. So it's like, from little things like that, like I said, I rode a Mongoose jam on Paul Ryan's team 1 year, and I got to see that support from the beginning, you know, where it's like,
so that made the decision easier.
That made the decision way easier, where it's like, they're giving back to the community. They're throwing amateur kids in this contest. Like, they're opening their doors to these kids to, like, come to camp, get a potential spot to ride on these pros teams, and potentially win stuff and you know, be inspired, you know. And so that was it was super easy for me to figure out. Obviously, my dad was a big fan of the brand, like, with history and all the culture they've created in BMX. It was like, wow, this is like a win for me and a win for my dad. Like, this is a brand my dad wanted to ride for when he was in the 80s, you know. So, yeah, it's just cool. Yeah, it really is.
And you mentioned the frame, but aren't they producing? Are they going to start producing?
Yeah, so
the frame?
For a minute, they didn't have.
I saw that in a comment on Nikita's thing. That's why I thought of this, because Nikita, we posted something about Nikita recently.
Nikita's bike.
Yeah, and then there were some comments back and forth. So that's why that was kind of the spark for this.
Yeah, so Mongoose gave me I think they made a limited 100 frames 3 years ago. Three, four years ago, they made like 100 American-made frames that I helped design, like, just pro frames.
Yeah.
And that's it. They only, like, they're like, hey, we're going to give you a frame. It's not going to have your name on it. We're just going to promote it with you, and it's going to be only 100 American-made frames. They were super expensive because they were all American-made. So the market that I could potentially sell to in Mexico and South America and other countries, it was
couldn't
hard.
Couldn't get it
because by the time they paid for shipping, it was just too expensive. So fast forward to 2020, and we're working on my pro model frame, the version 2 of that American made frame, but we're going to make them through Taiwan, through the same, you know, manufacturing companies that make every other pro frame out there, and make them more accessible to everyone and more affordable, honestly. Like,
cool.
A $400 frame was just too expensive. So
that's cool.
It's super cool. Yeah. They've given me the opportunity, itself, and I have sat down, and she, like I said, she does graphic design work. So we've sat down together and been playing with my doodles and artwork, and she's like mocked it up, and she's been helping me with the designs for the frame. And
that's awesome.
La Familia version 2 frame coming soon.
Nice.
I don't know when, but I'm trying out a few prototypes right now. And it's just super exciting. Like, with Lee being in the middle, you know, the communication with the manufacturing company. You know, it's just, I just feel more involved than when I did on the first one. It was like, oh, here's the frame we made. Try this and run this. And it's like, this is where we're going to sell for a limited time. And now it's like, no, let's make this perfect. Let's make this what you want. Let's, like, you know, BMX, how it should be. Like, you write everything. Like, what can we do? What can we not do? Like, from me doing the geometry, from adding thicker dropouts to cool looking head tubes, seat tubes, whatever it may be, like seat clamps, like just a little bit of everything. And me being involved with all this input is just real. Yeah, it's real refreshing. It really is. It's cool. Real awesome.
And you've never gotten the chance to like design a frame before.
No,
right?
Not like so, that. Yeah. As in before, like it was like, yeah, like I run a 20.5 and then
yeah, you just 13.5, delivered some specs yeah. or something.
And now it's like, no, I want this head tube angle and I want this back end and I want this thick of dropouts and like this head tube, like exactly what I want. So it's super cool.
Nice. Cool.
Super thankful. Thank you, Mongoose. Really, really awesome. Thank you, Lee, obviously. We've just been going back and obviously colors and stuff. We talked about colors right now, so.
Yeah. Is there anything else going on? Or you got to... Dennis started to lead in.
I was going to say, you're on Demolition, and you've been on forever. You have the signature parts. You're like a part of the crew, and you haven't been on a trip yet.
I know. Every time...
you're in the group trip, message, yeah. and I'm it better happen chats, yeah. in a couple weeks. We're going.
No, I'm coming. This is my first legit Demolition trip I've been... I can tell you from the beginning, you know, it's like you have your heroes, so you want to ride and wear and sticker your helmet with all the stickers that all your favorite riders have. And Demolition was always a brand from like their turquoise bombs and their big ass fat tires that they made when they were first coming into play. You know, it was like Demolition was that brand. Like Dennis was on the team, like young Larry Edgar was on, Chris Doyle, just the dudes like Rob Wise, like
yeah.
countless dudes like that were on the brand that like influenced me in riding. Like I was always a fan, you know, and so I was loyal to the brand from the beginning. I was already buying Demolition parts. Like that's I tried every other brand, and I probably had every brand sticker on my helmet growing up, but Demolition was like always the one that stood out. And I mean, I even broke a pair of like Biz bars that I had ran for 3 years. Like,
yeah, the team's always been stacked, and like, we're and hyped
I, and
to
I
have you.
Still loyal, yeah, no, and I'm super hyped. I like
exciting I to finally get
you
on a trip.
You shouldn't
too.
Ride bars for 3 years.
I know, that's like, and I'll tell you guys that. Like, I switched yeah. bars like after their band and stuff. Like, everything breaks, whatever brand it is. Yeah. It all breaks with time. So, yeah. And I learned that the hard way.
Yeah,
I got like 17 stitches.
Oh, yeah, wow. Kids, yeah. check your welds. Yeah. No matter what, no matter how good that part is, sometimes. You never know.
That's a whole PSA of that's my pet peeve.
After a couple years. Or,
don't hand me down parts.
And yeah, and don't, no, exactly. Like I did that with my little brothers for a minute.
That's true. You could be riding it for 2 years, but you forgot the kid before you was riding it for 3. You're like, yeah. these are 5-year-old cranks that have just been getting beat
and
up.
So like, even despite me breaking a pair of Demolition bars, I still was loyal to the brand. Like I was hyped on it and then got thrown on the team flow. You know, Pat, I think Pat got me hooked up with Brian getting me parts and tires. Like, my local bike shop was carrying a lot of like the Momentum tires and I was just like just running those up and helping with the sales there. And I think Brian and La over at Demolition just saw that and threw me on the team. I went to film with Dobie. I came to San Diego like one of the first times to film, and Dobie took me to like a few local spots. We went to Dennis's backyard before the remodel a few years ago, and
the
Joey Cobbs was there. Joey's like, you want to shoot a photo? I was like, yeah, I'm filming this downside pocket down whip air. Like, let's shoot that. And then a month later, they surprised me with this Demolition poster of me doing that downside pocket down whip. And so it's like, just little things like that where it's like, I had Dennis Anderson Demolition posters and volume posters on my wall. Like, I have one of my own posters now. Like, it's just super cool. And, you know, last year we got to work on a signature seat and, it was just, super basic C, and it just hyped, you know, like from running the market C and like Matt Cordova's and like everyone getting like some input where the brand gives so much love back to the rider where they got their input and gets thrown out there. Like
if you're on the team, they want you to have signature stuff.
Yeah, they want you to have signature stuff, which is cool because they're investing.
But we also want you on trips. We've been waiting for it. Like how is Kevin? He's always so busy, you know, we go on all these trips.
Last year
like,
I went on 82 flights. And,
yeah.
And I think you guys had 2 Demolition trips that I was like, no way I can make it on those. Like, I couldn't make it. I just couldn't. But now with the pandemic and with the contest being canceled, I have this open window where it's like, let's go.
And it's perfect
for
Demolition trips
cool,
too, because we do road trips and
super
camping.
And I think it's
you're
cool.
Gonna love it, man.
I'm hyped. Yeah, I've never been camping before.
Where are you guys going?
We're going. Chris Fox mapped out a cool. Cause we're gonna do one to Colorado in August when the pandemic is a little more chilled out. You know, it's getting good right now.
Yeah,
but
I think we're going up NorCal, what, Fresno.
Not even. We're doing it's like Mammoth, so it's kind of like Mid-Cal. We're gonna Chris Fox has this cool loop where there's like beautiful camping and little skate parks tucked away everywhere. Nice. So it's gonna.
I've never even been camping.
So these trips are magical. Yeah.
Didn't you say you had, you slept on Stephen Murray's house or something like
that? Urban camping.
Urban camping.
I've never been in the woods. I was in a mini ramp in a tent. is that considered camping?
Yeah.
It depends on where you pooped.
We might be doing similar stuff Porta on this trip.
Now I got like a set of bars, you know, and like I got the stem and it's just cool. I got the seat.
Everything's looking good.
It's like we're working on a few other stuff to throw out there. And Matt came down to San Diego last week, and a session turned into a few clips to a
full little awesome
video promo where it's like, oh, I wish I would have filmed more. Like we weren't trying, but he's like, I think we're good with this. I was like, yeah, like I'm having fun.
Nah,
like,
that was cool. That hurt my head this morning. Like for Instagram, that was on the verge of an edit. You know, like
It was a full edit. It was on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Okay, cool. Yeah, but we throw it up on Insta and stuff.
That's
problem.
Cool.
Everyone, oh, is that what? Okay.
You can see it everywhere nowadays. Yeah. If it's not
just
more
cool,
than a minute.
Yeah.
Well, I guess let's round it out. What's up with Vans and Monster then? Is there something?
Monster.
I think the Christian Project may be a Monster edit, but I don't know if that's locked in.
Christian Project maybe. For Monster, no idea just yet. Yeah. I mean, I filmed a piece last year with Andrew Knight. We were in Barcelona before and the week after, and then Stuttgart, Germany for Vans Broke Up, and we filmed a video last year. And so my goal was to go back sometime at the end of the year. I got way too busy, so I said, all right, let's try to plan before or after Simple Session, and let's polish this video up to just make it better. Like, you know, I'm so picky and perfected on little things where it's like, I know I can do more. Like, let's just make this that much better. And I usually film video parts like in a week and then I'm done. And as in this, I was like, I really want to just work and put like time.
A week? Good. That's how you've done it?
I've always, like all the videos I've ever worked on, it's like day after day after day. Okay, I'm done.
Wow.
It's like, or like the channel.
What about
videos.
Like your X Games Real Street part? And like your Vans Illustrated part? Those weren't a week.
Oh, well, Vans Illustrated was like a full production. Like, I've never done my own like video parts. Like,
so like that AZ Heat one?
AZ
that
Heat,
you did?
One day.
No.
And then the Monster video I filmed with Dylan Full, that was 2 weekends.
Jesus.
He came down from Denver 2 weekends in a row.
That's how he works. That's cool, though. That's a good way to work. Yeah. Just get it done.
When we did the AZ Heat one, it was like 110, so we would drive out. Obviously, we weren't going to pay for a hotel.
That video,
so
that's one of the best rant videos. Yeah. 2 weekends.
Thank you. And 2 weekends, like we did 2 weekends, and then I think he came back like a Memorial weekend where it was like a 3-day weekend, and we filmed that premises. So it was like, like my filmer was in town for the weekend. Like I did like an old video where like one of my good friends Marquise is at the beginning, and
Marquise, I forgot about
even Marquise, and he's like a local in Chandler. If you've been to Chandler, you know Marquise, but like he's at the beginning of the video, and I do like Superman Secret Up to Late Bar Spin. I filmed that with I just brain farted.
Phoenix filmer or
no? He's from Las Vegas.
I got you way off topic anyway. Sorry, Dalton. For that. You were talking about Andrew's video.
Dalton Campbell.
So Dalton Campbell came down to hang out with Johnny Stevens. Johnny Stevens and
pulled
stuff
that one out of your ass.
And we filmed that video in a day, and that was like from morning to sunset, and it was like so hard on my body, but. That video like helped me get invited to like a contest like a few weeks later and like little things like that where I saw like the progression of my video, and it was like documenting, you know. I didn't vlog, but I used to use my mom's old little photo camera to film, and David would stand there and film me, and we'd put these cringy videos on YouTube with like Hey There Delilah and like but it was fun, you know. And, I wanted to put more time into this video with Andrew, and obviously Andrew is super hard worker and hungry as well, and just wants to, you know, he's willing to put in the hour. So wanted to polish that up, come back this year to it. And then obviously the pandemic, so we don't have no time. Yeah. I just don't want the video to not be relevant anymore. And I feel like I'm getting better at riding street too. And that was all street in Barcelona. And I think so we're going to put that out for Mongoose. Yeah, that's going to be a Mongoose video that's going to be out. And obviously, you know, the goal is to go back to Barcelona and do the stuff that I had left, you know, that were pending. But this video with Christian was like randomly that came up, you know, and full street part.
That those are the best ones, though. Yeah. The ones that are like are kind of organic, trying, like
from a session, you know. Where,
especially because you just moved here and like everything's like being on a trip to you. You didn't know those curvaroids are right down the street from your house.
I'm like 5 minutes from all these spots. I had no idea.
No clue. So. Christian's got.
And it's super
all of
different
them.
To wake up, have breakfast at home, and to meet up with your friends, and to feel good, and to not be jet lagged or have to build your bike, and like
that's gonna be. This is gonna be cool.
Or like I'm sore tomorrow, so I'm not gonna ride tomorrow. And I just show up and hang out, and Chad gets the clips, or DeMarcus is getting clips, and it's
and you get to see spots that you're like. Well, maybe I'll come back
spots.
To this.
Yeah, and so, or we're that's not cool. on a time zone. We're like, oh, we're here for 8 days. Like, get it done now. And it's like, well, I'll put that off and come back to it when I'm ready or when I'm full.
And
of
for
energy,
you
so.
Too, even the weather in the summer here is probably like heaven.
Way better.
You're used
yeah,
to
some, back home. I wouldn't even be riding this time of the day. So
Cool. Yeah, cool.
With Vans, obviously, there's a bunch of projects going on right now. Like some signature shoe lines that are colorways that are coming out.
Oh, with you.
No, not with me. Oh. Other riders. No, not with me. I'm just throwing it out there, like,
because your shoe's still out there.
My
right?
shoe, yeah, my shoe was last year's February, so spring 2019. My shoe and t-shirt came out. It's still super cool to see it, like my shirt and like a random guy wearing my shoe that doesn't even ride BMX. It's cool to see, and it's like Vans. Like I said before, with Demolition, like when a company like that like invests that much into you and gives back to you, like. It's when they believe in you the most, you know, and it's like super,
really
super
make
motivating.
You part of the brand.
Really make you part of the brand. Like, I'm in the history books with the company of with a signature colorway, and that's super awesome, you know. And going back to my dad wearing Vans growing up to getting a signature shoe with our last name on it is like, oh, it's super crazy. So thankful with everyone that's supporting me. Honestly, I don't.
Yeah,
know.
You got some dope backing, for sure. Like it, like you know, there's people who make it in BMX, and then there's people who get that. Like you got like. You know, all your sponsors seem like they fit you and
yeah, and I don't feel
they go well with you. And it's just, there's nothing like really just lingering, like, yeah, just take this paycheck. It's all
take
like,
this paycheck
it's all like a
like
little family
feel
kind
like
of deal.
I have to be a part because like, I think it's cool now, but I don't, well, going back to like pressure and stuff, I don't feel pressured to go to a contest and win with, cause my sponsors, I'm so like, I have a good relationship with all the TMs and all the companies I've worked for where it's like, I do a good job with social media and like promoting content.
And to put some shine on you, I know you don't like this, but you've done it. You've done all the contests and then still you can always keep doing good at contests and that's awesome. But it's like now you can become, you're young, you've done good at contests. You have just so much potential to just keep becoming Kevin Peraza and whatever you want to do, whatever your favorite thing to do right now is go ahead and do it. Cause that's going to be what BMX loves. You've already shown that you're one of the best bike riders in the world. Now you can just keep blossoming.
Yeah, and I think with the companies that have supported me prior winning medals and doing good and stuff, it's just like, I feel like I don't feel like there's a need for me to change if they believed in me before, you know, and now I'm only working that much harder. It's only going to help me that much more in the long run. So it's super motivating, honestly. A lot of the, when the pandemic hit, it's like, obviously everyone's minds were like, wow, like, are people going to get paychecks? Are people going to get pay cuts? Like, are people going to get re-signed, you know? And it's like, I was thankful enough to re-sign with the companies I ride for, and it's like nothing was going on. So it's like, okay, like I'm doing well and I'm doing my job correctly if this is all going well. So
yeah,
I mean,
for sure. I don't think anybody
emails on time and text message that doesn't
take
long.
How dare you respond to text messages? Well, actually, you're not too good.
I'm all right.
Oh, you're not a sponsor though.
That's true.
He's like, oh, sponsor. Fudger.
Back to Fudger the next day. Sorry, Fudger. I saw your message. I was driving. I forgot.
Very responsible.
I'm like, sorry, dude. I didn't
one
make
text
up some
can
BS
end
excuse.
Life.
No, I'm like brutal. Like, if it's not phone. The next day, I'll just be like, in all caps, just be like, why do you hate me? Like,
that's something that's like that is good to remind somebody.
It is hard,
you know,
though,
like, oh, text me back. Come on.
As with everything on social media and everything going on in the world, I was so burnt out and being on my phone, and like, I got to a point where I was like, I don't want to be on my phone anymore. I stopped texting back. And
everybody
like,
shut
down
a little bit. Well, cool. I mean, it seems, I think I'm out of topics for the most part.
I don't know.
It's almost 2 hours.
Kevin?
Okay, wow, so. I talk way too much. That was too
no,
much.
No, it was good.
You're amazing. You're one of those that like we could have probably asked you one question and sit on the couch and listen.
I'll be back.
But it's amazing, dude. Shout out to you and your family, the Arizona scene, Mexico scene. Everything you're doing for the sport, man, you're perfect for it. And
no, thank you. I really appreciate it. And I feel like I think you said it before, like, you're never going to move to California. You've been saying it for years. Like, I think I waited too long, but I waited just enough for me to figure out like what I needed, you know, and now I'm here and I get to, you know, feel influenced and inspired every day and motivated to go. And I feel like that's a thing in life most people, you know, struggle on, is to get inspired. And what's like, what gets you out of bed? Like, it's not your 9-to-5 job where it's like, oh, I have to go to work today. It's like, no, I want to get out of bed today.
Yeah.
Like, we've been in a pandemic. I don't even have to wake up for a flight. Like, and I'm up early out and I want to go ride and I want to go out. And it's like, I'm in a new city, new everything. Like,
it seems like, yeah, the right, it seems like the right move to me. Yeah. I mean, I think the timing couldn't have been any better. Imagine, yeah, like, you know, with all, everything being shut down and you're
having sort of, time to enjoy, yeah, it.
Is new and fresh. You got the trainer going on, like everything. I think all
making
that stuff
a new
is,
part with a new cool, yeah, dope filmer, new filmer, exactly, you know, and like, riding with Chad and DeMarcus every day, yeah, on the streets. You got my rants, but you never come to him.
I stopped asking.
I know, me and Chad were talking about these. Like, Kevin doesn't want to bother you. I'm like, dude, you just got to ask me because I'll forget.
No, I know. It just goes back to that. Like, if you're not going to ride today, I'm not going to, there's other places I can go ride today. You know, I'm not going to cry.
We'll get on it.
I'm not going to cry even though you don't write me back. But
see,
I'm kidding. But it's like, I said this before, like, Pat Casey's only an hour and a half away and I haven't been to his ramp yet, you know? And so, yeah, with the pandemic and everything, I feel like it was only like, I don't know if people really want people over or if people are trying to see other friends. Like, it was hard at the beginning, you know, and despite everything going on in the world, I felt like, okay, I have this break from riding contests, from being on trips. Like, I got to be in my new very own apartment with my wife, like, slowly moving in, and I don't feel rushed coming back from a trip to get stuff in, you know. And
that had
to
be good timing for that too, to get yourself set up.
I mean, you got to cherish a time like that, really, because it's not going to happen again.
No, and that was one thing that I would say was stopping me from moving. It was like, why am I going to go and pay rent California if I'm not even going to be there?
True.
Yeah.
Like I said, I flew so many flights last year where I was like, I don't remember how many days I was home in Arizona. So it's super cool, super super hyped to be here. Everyone that I get to ride with, and obviously, I just feel like I'm more productive and want to be productive. Like, shooting, you know, photos is different now. You know, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to go and try and teach the photographer how to shoot BMX photos. No, it's like, I trust the photographer and the filmer and whoever.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's stoked,
man. And it turns
into
a session, you know, and it's just like,
oh, yeah,
good to see the people that I see at events on a regular session. Like, we went to a skate park the other day and it was, I'd never even been to City Heights, and it was like Nathan, Garrett, Colin, DeMarcus,
any of the big
Chad,
skate parks, like, you go to, you'll be like, oh, this is where this crew hangs out. Yeah, or like, you know, like, you can, it's crazy.
It was like my very first skate
you'll
park.
You forget how many people
dudes
live in San Diego until, yeah, you hit different skate parks, man, and move around a little bit.
Yeah.
And everyone else that lives up north, like in LA, Long Beach, Huntington, like, I haven't even gotten up that way since I've moved. So slowly making my way up there and getting a ride with all my friends as everything goes, all the trails spots that I never get to ride. So we have this time. I think this is the year for video parts and producing content and learning and appreciating the things and people around you. Honestly, this is the time.
The sickness is terrible and sad. You know, COVID's nothing cool about a new disease put out into the world, or infection, whatever it is. But man, if you take the positives from it, like you have, and BMX is going to, it's just like, BMX will probably survive through anything, and especially this, because everyone's getting together, road tripping again,
and
like keeping it low key
too, so it's cool.
We're very lucky to have our little thing, because man, when this shit was real crazy and people, it felt like 1 in 3 people were gonna die or something, it was just grab those handlebars and go, and it was like oh my god, life is good. Like, oh, this is crazy. I have this bike and I just ride down the street, and it's like,
and it's like,
as long as I got my mask, I feel safe. now I don't trip like that.
I don't necessarily feel like it's, I feel like it's like I don't know if God's telling us to slow down, you know, and to appreciate the little things, where a lot of people were complaining about the little things. It's there's people that don't even have, you know, wooden floors. They have dirt floors still. And
think
it's
about
like
how nice a hot shower is, man. Yeah, that's like the sickest thing. You can't find that in the natural world. You can find a hot spring, that's it. But
yeah, and it's like this time where it's like, oh, people always had the excuse of, I'm going to do it tomorrow. And then that tomorrow turns into next week, and 2 months go by and haven't done it. So it's like, this is the time to get stuff done that you've been wanting to do, whether it's your daily fitness or cooking or whatever it is. So it's like, it really is. Take the negative, you know, and turn it into a positive and learn from that. And
you can always find a positive and move with that.
Always. And for sure. And surround yourself with people that are positive and inspire you.
So, I know we're kind of trying to get close to wrapping it up, but you said something about God, and that was like one thing I wrote down. What is your relationship with God?
I'm Christian. I grew up, you know, going to church and believing that we're all here for a reason, you know, and we all have a path that gets thrown at us and curveballs that get thrown at us for temptations. And there's obviously, you know, there's bad people in the world. So there's demons in the world, which means negativity is always into play, and hate. And, you know, God is love. Love is people around you that make you feel happy and safe. And And I mean, I don't know.
That's an amazing way to put it. You know, yeah. A lot of people like you can I'm turn Christian religion and, like into I a said, weird you know, thing, but that sounds
yeah,
beautiful.
It's like you don't have to go and preach it out to everyone. But if I'm a good person to someone, you know, but I'm dead broke, then people are going to love me, you know, because I was always loving everyone else. So it's like, you don't necessarily need to have everything and all the money in the world to be happy if you have love, which love is the people that care about you, your family, your wife, your brothers, your friends, everyone. So if everyone around you loves you, you know, then you're doing something good in life, despite what you have and what you don't have. So God to me is love. And obviously we're all here for a reason. We're all blessings. We're all thankful for even the lessons we're taught in life. So
cool.
Yeah. Every time I drop in, you know, I thank God for the day and I just ask him to protect everyone around me. And that's love. I think at the end of the day,
that's
when
love.
You show no negative, you know, even to your competition and to people that are hating on you, you just pray that they fight their own demons and move on from then be better to themselves. So
awesome.
Glass love yourself, half yeah. full kind of guy, Kevin Peraza. Sure. Love it. Positivity it. And love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
No, thank you guys. Sorry, thank I you, talked too much.
No, you're good. It's
beautiful.
You're good.
Thanks so much.
We're going to go ride today.
Thanks, BMX.
Let's go to the bike
and thanks
park.
Everyone yeah. outside of BMX for listening
thank
in.
You,
love y'all.
Our BMX and, you know, you, Z, Adam Watkins, Dennis.
Dennis
and,
is part of the crew now.
I love
everyone,
it.
You know,
I love
everyone
that we're doing Unclicked again and we're getting cool people
BMX,
like
you
on
you know,
here.
And that's been influential in my life that has taught me to be better on a bike and off a bike and to be positive to even everyone that is mean. So yeah, BMX, I love BMX and everyone that's, you know, like it goes to little things. You don't have to speak the same language to vibe with someone that loves what you love. So
for sure.
Shout out to everyone that rides BMX.
Much Eat love
fun.
Everyone.
Always have fun.
Can't wait for you. The next Unclick podcast. And I can't wait to listen to one, you know, when I'm on the road and I can't make it here. So that's going to be fun right? too.
Yeah.
Love y'all. Unclick till the next episode. Thanks Kev.
Thank you guys.
Oh, there's the guitar. Nobody knows.